show. It's the best show, and it's on tonight. It's the best show, and tonight. It's the best, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best show that you've ever heard. It's the best show, hosted by Tom Sharpling. It's the best show, and it's live. It's the best, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best. It's the best show. Everybody's in the studio. Got AP Mike and Pat Byrne. And Dudio's back tonight from what I heard. Although I haven't seen him, I think he's here. Cause we've had bad weather tonight, and we'll see if he makes it here. And the best, oh, best, yes, the best, the best, man.
All right, enough of that. Ah! I'm trying to run a tight ship here. Oh my goodness. Hey everybody, it's the best show. What's up tonight, everybody, here as we have fun on this beautiful May evening. It's May, right? May of 2018. As we move through the year, like lightning itself, the year, the months fall away like calendar pages in a old reminiscence. Yet here we find ourselves in May of 2018, and here I find myself with you, and you find yourself with me. Tonight on The Best Show, revenge movies, not just movies, top revenge stories, top 50 revenge stories of all time. What are they? We'll talk about it, and what does it take to make a good revenge story, and yeah. All sorts of stuff, and you got Stephanie Robinson will be here later. That'll be fun. She's a writer, a smart person, talented. Must be nice to be talented. I have nothing except the best show is all I have. I have no talent, you know that. I've just got some elbow grease. All I got is this elbow grease, and I do what I do and hope you don't notice I don't bring a whole lot to the table. But what I do bring to the table to you is the best show. So let's start it. And if we get going now, it'll be over soon. Best show! Jersey, back again. Hi, welcome. No, I'm not going to talk like that. Hi. I'm not going to talk like that either. That's not very good. Hey, everybody. Man, that's not great, but I'm going to... Hi. I don't like that. What's up? That sounded desperate. Hey, everybody. Nope. Hey, it's the bet. Mike, what happened to my voice? I don't know. I forgot how to talk. Hey, everybody, it's the best show. What's up tonight? It's Tom, and I'm here with you for the rest of the evening, right? Yeah. Till midnight. Your friend Tom Sharpling, and we're going to go all the way through to, I don't know when. We'll see. We'll see how much of the show we do. Maybe it'll be 5 more minutes. Maybe it'll be 3 hours. I don't know. I don't know anymore. I just, I'm out on a limb, guys. I just go where it takes me now. You hear that, Mike? Wherever it takes me, I go. I'm like a leaf. Blow, I just go with the flow now. It's the new me. I go with the flow. Go with the flow. No, I don't go with the flow. You know that. The phone number 201-332-3484 here tonight on this lovely May evening where we are somehow in the middle of, what is it, the monsoon outside? I don't know, it rolled in, it was like, oh, it cooled down a little bit, and then like these, then suddenly it's like, oh, the sky, it's dark now out at night. Oh, but it's 4:30 in the afternoon. It's like, what am I, in an Avengers movie now? Right? Right? What is Thanos rolling in here? Is that next? How'd you like that Avengers movie, Mike? What's that? That's great. We'll talk more about that later. I want to tell you, we just heard Cut Worms. That's a great song. Cut Worms from the new album called Hollow Ground. That's a song called Cash for Gold. Jag Jaguar put out the album. It just came out. That's a dude who's, I think he's in New York City. I think that's where that guy is. It's good, though. I like it. Album's really good. Cut Worms. They're out and about on tour. I think they're out with King Tuff, featuring our friend Nicole, who was in studio a few weeks ago, playing guitar for King Tuff now. Yeah. Cut Worms. So, let's think what we gotta do here. Alright, who's, Mike, who's good here? Line 3. Let's get right into the phones. We'll just get the action going, right? Because people are always just like, let's get the action. How do you feel about this sports betting, Mike? Think it's good, right? You think it's good because America wasn't crumbling fast enough, right? Yeah, there was the end still seemed a little too far away. That now everyone, the ruination wasn't enough that you could go on a website and be like, in New Jersey, suddenly it's like, I got to find one of those commercials. You know those? Do you see those commercials? The ones where they're just like, I got a casino in my house now. It's like I got to play one of them. Yeah, exactly. I went broke playing a Guns N' Roses slot machine in my kitchen. Betfair is the thing. And they show these commercials. This is not the one. There's one that's like cool where everybody's like on a basketball court playing. It's like, that's not the, where's one of the ones where it's just like they show these people and they're just like, I believe that this is honest. Like this is, I won $5,000 and I think, but these people look just trampled on by life. These are like the people that they put in the commercial. Who'd they leave out? These people look defeated. No, these are the winners. And they look like they've been run over by like the tractor trailer of life. Like backed over a couple times. Here we go. This is the one where this guy, oh, these people, I got to play this. Hold on. Someday I'll have some high-tech stuff where I can just pull clips up like this. Doing everything myself. You think I had like a one-man band, like I have cymbals strapped to my knees.
It's amazing. I have a slot machine in my kitchen.
Go to BetfairCasino.com or download the
and
Betfair
Casino. And also, this is not a commercial. Don't go to Betfair Casino. This is not some stealth commercial I'm doing.
It's amazing. I had a casino in my kitchen.
It's amazing. I have a slot machine in my kitchen.
Go to BetfairCasino.com or download the Betfair Casino app. And when you sign up, you'll get $10 free. Act now.
Oh, wow. A whole $10. You press the button once, it's like, yeah, your $10 is gone.
Pull your first deposit up to $1,500.
My first time playing online, and I won $15,000.
Don't feel like a long...
The second time he played online, he lost $20. It's like...
Join the home of the largest online casino payout in New Jersey. Go to BetfairCasino.com and claim your bonuses today.
I won
on BetfairCasino.com.
Betfair.
Yeah, I got that Philly accent in there. On BetfairCasino.com. Make sure. It's for the people who don't want... There's a casino everywhere now. Because it used to be like, oh, it's Las Vegas or Atlantic City or like maybe like some riverboat or whatever. It's like legal on like a riverboat. Now it's like, now there's casinos in like Connecticut. There's like all the Indian reservation casinos or just like Mohegan Sun and Foxwood. And then suddenly there was one right outside of New York opened up. And then they opened one up literally in Philadelphia. Like, in the downtown area of Philadelphia, there's just a casino there now. But what I want written... Mike, write this down. This is what I want written on my tombstone. I'm serious about this. Someone's got to keep track of my legacy. And there's no joke. All kidding aside. Transcribe this. You have a pen? This is what I want written on my tombstone.
It's amazing. I have a slot machine in my kitchen. Go to...
Okay. I just wanted to say, Tom Sharpling, just write dead. Don't even write the years. It's amazing. I got a slot machine in my kitchen. What made me start talking about this? I'm like 8 subjects away already. It's amazing. Oh, look who it is. My. Welcome back. Yeah, thank you. Look, as I live and breathe, look who's graced us, Mike. Right, Mike? Right? The Emperor. The Emperor's back. This is gonna be your new theme music, studio. Just listen. I guess I don't have it on my laptop. Okay, fine. I don't have your theme music yet. It's a whole night of hearing me type. Not the kind of show I like doing. This is your new theme music. Presence of the Lord. We know when you roll in. How are you, though? It's good to see you. You were missed. Because I'll say this. Look, it's been fun working on the show with the guys, right? But without you around, I can't, it's just seeing you proudly look at me. I can't. All of it's going. All the nice things I'm saying have dried up. All the nice things I'm saying dried up right now.
I am not proudly looking. I'm very happy to be here.
Ready to receive a compliment. I don't like it. I don't like this. Go back to wherever. Where were you? Where were you? Los Angeles? Best Show, hi.
Hi, Mr. Chaplin. This is Texas Bob Williams. I'm a friend of Avalanche Bob.
Oh, goody. Hey, it's Avalanche Bob. Well, it's not. What is it? Bob? What?
Yeah, Tom. Avalanche did a song last week that was written by me. That was not Avalanche's song. Now, Avalanche is here with me. Just a minute.
Okay.
Hi, Tom. This is Avalanche Bob. Last week, I did a song. I messed it up.
Yeah. What was that song called
Texas
again?
Texas Bob is here tonight, and he'll do the song the right way. Now, this isn't a dirty song.
Okay.
This is a song about a beautiful girl and a pussycat, and you can take it any way you want.
Do I have to take it?
You want to hear it, Tom?
Do I have a choice?
Yeah, this song. Would you like to hear the song?
Sure, let's hear the song.
Okay, here we go. Well, I was taking a walk early one morning when I heard a voice calling me. Honey, come get my pussy down, dug up in a tree. I turned around to see who it was. Why did I pass to see? A beautiful girl in a black bikini standing under a tree. Hey, yeah, she said, I'm a poor little girl all alone in the world. I just moved in the house next door. Ran outside to get my pussies in the mouth. And my pussy cat ran out the door. Well, I climbed up the tree.
I clearly did something wrong in, like, a previous life. Is this payback? If it's payback, if I can find out that this is indeed payback, I'll accept my...
I was just getting ready to leave that honey. I was soaking with timing when she looked at me with a sexy blue eyes and said, I got a broken washing machine. After coming upstairs, oh, what a surprise. Just about dinner time, she had fixed it up for two, and on the table was a bottle of wine. She came walking toward me with her eyes filled with love, like I never saw her before. She matched into the arms of a silver giant, came crashing through the door. Yeah, she said, I'm a poor little girl all alone in the world. My heart's been bent away. The number one wrestler in the USA. Let me show you a helicopter spin, boy. I'm only joking.
I love it. I love it. That was a great song.
You like it?
I loved it. I loved it.
Well, that was done by Texas Bob Williams, not Avalanche.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. It's good to hear work.
I've got many hats, Tom. Many hats.
I wish I had a hat with earmuffs on it. I'm good.
Great.
I'm good.
Okay, yeah. So we start the snowboard revolution, the comic revolution, anything else.
And here we go. And AP Mike.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. Okay, Mr.
Right.
Chaplin, have a great night.
You too.
I don't want to hold you too long because I know you've got important people on the phone.
You have a grand evening.
Okay.
All right. What do I do? What do I do with that? Seriously, what am I supposed to do with that? And I was just saying, there's nowhere to go. It's like the other day I was on the subway yesterday, Mike. That's right, the subway. And I step on, and I see there's a clear area over in the corner. It's a crowded subway car. It's like a clear area. And the guy just goes, hey, watch your step. Like a guy sitting down near it goes, hey, watch your step. I look, oh, it's because there's human refuse all over the place. Oh, yeah, great. Yes, look, the guy did me a solid. But watch your step is putting it lightly. Watch your step. That's what that called. That was the audio version of that. When I was a good thing with the... Where's that go? Hey, well, who's good here, Mike? Four, okay. Best Show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, to whom am I speaking?
This is Dave from Knoxville.
Oh, my goodness. It's Dave from Knoxville. Dave from Knoxville. How are you, Dave? It's been a while.
Doing just fine.
It's been a while. Who sang that song? It's been a while.
It's been a while.
So what's going on down there in Knoxville, Tennessee?
Same old nothing. I'm between sessions, so I don't call a lot because I have to wake up at 5:30 to get to work. But I'm off at the moment, so I thought I would call in and just let you know how much I'm enjoying the show.
Oh, that's nice of you to say.
Absolutely.
I'm trying, Dave. I'm trying.
You're doing great work.
All I can do is try.
Even if unappreciated, you're doing it. You're doing it right.
I think it's. I think we do all right. I think people appreciate us, right?
Mostly,
we do all right. Look, I'm not in this for the. You know, I do this for the show for Dave. Me.
Yeah. Okay.
If it sounds right to me, I can't worry about no one else. I know what sounds right. I can't do it for everybody. I do it for me and for a few other people. That's it. That's it. And I
can I be on that small trade?
Sure. Yeah, you can.
Great.
I'll put you on the short list of the thing that I do it for. Mike.
Great.
Put Dave on the short list of people I do the show for.
Hey, I do have a quick idea for you. You know, you've given me so much over the years, and I'm always looking for opportunities to give back.
Yes.
So I had an idea.
What's the idea?
All right. So this awful Me Too mess. I mean, these people should just be hung out to dry.
With which people, though?
And it's
let me just
not
make sure. Let me make sure you're saying the right people should be hung out to dry. Which people? The accusers or the accused?
The accused.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
And so I had an idea. You ever see the movie Under the Sea?
Under the Sea. What is that now?
It's Kevin Spacey doing a Bobby Darin biopic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I didn't get around to it.
So if you cut out Kevin Spacey from that movie, you probably actually have an entertaining 20 minutes, but it wouldn't work as a movie, right?
Without Kevin Spacey in it?
Right.
Yeah. But, I'd say the Bobby Darin movie might be hard if you cut the guy who played Bobby Darin out of it.
Yeah. And it would be hard to cut anybody else in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're doing all this voice work and lauded for it.
I'm trying, bro.
So
I'm trying.
There's a great movie out there called Moon. You seen Moon?
Moon. That's the Duncan Jones movie.
That's right.
Where you got Sam Rockwell's riding a dune buggy on the moon.
Absolutely. And the robot is voiced by...
Who?
Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, so loop me in. If that's what you're saying. Yeah, I like
that. That is what I'm saying.
Send these movies back to the drawing board, right? Like movies...
You and Dudio could do this in a hot afternoon, Tom.
I don't want Dudio... Look... The studio gets enough breaks as it is, right?
Well, you need a technical person, right?
Yeah, I can figure that. Look, I love Dudia. I love this guy. I love him. But at some point, I got to get mine. You know what I mean? I got to get mine. I got to do a voice in reboot the movie Moon and do the re-record Kevin Spacey's part. I got to cut Dudio in on that.
Yeah. Well, you have to pay it. You need somebody to push the button.
Yeah, let the studio pay him. And what's he saying in the movie? Look out for that moon rock.
Yeah.
Stuff
like that. I would love to see a cut of that movie with Tom Sharpling's voice in place of Kevin Spacey's.
Look out for that moon rock.
You got it.
Moon rock. Okay. Well, this dude, the director of that is Duncan Jones, and I'm putting the word out. Duncan... If you want your movie to not be some weird laughing stock because you got Kevin Spacey in it, consider me to re-record it.
And you know Duncan is David Bowie's son, and you have promoted Bowie.
Yes, I broke him. Many say I made him in America. Dave, this is a fantastic idea. This is a fantastic idea. I love it.
Yeah. All right. I can't wait to see and hear it.
Yeah. Hopefully. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed, Dave. Well, look, how are you feeling? Good?
Feeling good. Well, you remember, I don't know if you remember, I called when, now I'm going to blank, when Joe Mandy was on.
Yes.
I called a while back, and I said that I wanted to be the Jared of the Best Show.
It's Jared, the Subway guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I wasn't sure why you were saying that then, and I'm still not sure.
You know, it's a great promotional thing. And,
yeah, but why would you play yourself with this sub pervert?
Well, we didn't know he was a pervert for a long time. I like to be the pre-pervert.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pre-pervert Jared of the Best Show. So towards that end,
you can pick someone who never turned into a pervert, though. Why are you saying you want to be the Jared from Subway of the Best Show, but the pre-pervert one? Just pick someone who's not a pervert.
Because my OCD plays into this, into this path. So since I made that call that night, I have walked 850 miles, and I have walked 1.7 million steps.
All right, so you're getting healthy. I love it.
I'm working on it.
Good. That's what I want to hear. I'm glad. You owe it to yourself to do that. You do it for yourself.
If I could just be funnier, we'd have everything we need.
You don't worry about that. You're funny enough. You're plenty funny. You're plenty
funny. All right, man. You have an awesome show tonight.
All right, my friend. I will talk to you soon.
All right.
All right. So, look. Look, dude, this studio's back. First of all, is the pizza here?
Yeah.
Which one showed up?
Good one.
The good one. The square one?
Yeah.
Right, you're a little too enthusiastic about the pizza. It's just pizza. Calm down. Yeah. I know you're back from L.A. and they don't make good pizza out there. Right? Yeah. Look. It's fine. People act like they can't choke down pizza from anywhere. Just eat it. It's pizza. It's all good. This New York pizza, some of the worst pizza I ever had is in New York. So look. The studio's back. Mike says to me, though, Mike, I have a bone to pick with Studio? Yeah, a little bit. But the number one on the hot seat tonight is AP Mike. Why? This is what this guy says to me.
Hey, I know you don't like the Grateful Dead, but check out this. This is the best show ever.
And he gives me this Grateful Dead CDs to listen to. Well, what's the date of the show again? 5-8-77.
And he's like, this is a classic.
So I'm going to listen to this. Finally, I had it in my bag for months. This is the CD. It's all getting scratched up. I'm just like, at some point, this is not going to play. I gotta play it or throw in the trash. Like, fine, let me play this thing. So I play it. 5-8-77 at Cornell University. And he's like, This
is one of the greatest shows ever.
I listen to this thing. I'm just going to let the music do the talking. Let's take a listen to it. They're going to pop around on this for a second. Who does the song El Paso originally, Mike? Yeah. Look at this. Is this good? Like, just that. It's this atrocious country cover. And then they do another one, Mama Tried. Which, who's that? Waylon Jennings? Hank Williams? No, it's not Hank Williams. Merle Haggard. Yeah. That sucked. But the worst thing, one of the worst things I ever heard. Imagine this. First of all, you owe me hours of my life back. Hours. I'm holding you accountable. Because what was this thing, 19 hours long? They do this version
of Dancing in the Street. Like, you'd think they were mad at it. It's 16 minutes long. That's the worst thing. How is that? This is one of their best shows ever? What do the bad ones sound like? Like, what's a bad one sound like? This is one of the best ones. They played 8 million shows. You give me this one concert to listen to as like, this is a good one. Not even this is a good one. This is one of the best ones. Bands together 48 years. They got 10 million live shows. And this is what I'll say. Did I listen to it all the way through? Yeah, I did. The second CD, I started listening to Dancing in the Streets. I play 5 minutes of it. I have to get out of my car. I get back in. It starts back at the beginning again. I'm like, should I jump ahead on this? No, I'm not. I'm going to listen to it again. I want to be able to look Mike in the eye. Say I heard every second of this thing. And this is what I'll say. This is my, you tell me if this is correct, Mike. This is where I'm at on this, the Grateful Dead now. It's not for me. It's clearly not for me. It's not for me. It sounds so mopey and droopy. But this is the thing. These Jerry Garcia things. There's a good, of course he can play guitar. He sounds like a great guitar player. I get it. He's an all right singer. He would be like a good fourth singer in a band. Like the four, he'd be like the, like if he was in the band, he'd be like the, whatever, Garth Hudson or whoever would sing a song. Like, oh, he's going to sing one. But the thing, he's all right. I'm going to say this. He's all right. This is where I come away from this, Mike. Jerry Garcia is all right. The thing, Morning Dew, that's a good song. There's better versions of it. Better versions. Lee Hazelwood's version's better. But I get it. It's good. I appreciate it where he's the. But I think the rest of the band's even worse than I thought they were. I think he's a little better. He's a lot better than I thought he was. The rest of the band's worse. This Bob Weir. You know who he reminds me of? Picture this. Picture like a regional jean store in like the 70s and 80s, right? Like a guy who owns like 6 jean stores that are in like malls and stuff. Like a local, he's like a local jeans king or something, right? And he's the guy who just wears jeans. He's like kind of the guy to be like, hey, come on down to House of Jeans. He'd be like a cool guy as far as he's, like he thinks he's cool. And he's a creep though, right? Like wears satin shirts. Half disco, half total selling drugs out of his jeans store, right? Groping employees left and right. Hey, you can't tell. I'm the jeans king. That's who he reminds me of. Like a crooked denim salesman. Yeah, no, he starts wearing short, the Daisy Dukes on stage. Just what you want to see, Bob Weir and Daisy Dukes. So look, I guess thank you for letting me hear that, Mike. You helped me kind of close the thing out. Now, I don't ever want to hear anything from them again. This is done. This experiment is over. It's not for me. Look, look, maybe I, what do I like? If I was okay with a couple of those Jerry Garcia things, maybe that's more the dude I like or something. I don't know. You know what? I'm not going to find out. I don't care. I already put way too much into this.
Dancing, dancing, dancing in the streets. Calling out around the world. Dancing in the streets.
Guy blows. Bob Weir. All right, who's good here, Mike? I want to finish this up and then... Line one. Here we go. Beshow, hi.
Dancing.
Hi, Bob.
Yes, hi. Welcome.
Hi, this is Tommy in Pacific Grove.
Tommy in Pacific California. Grove, California. Where's Pacific Grove now?
I got one for the topic.
Where's Pacific Grove, my friend?
Pacific Grove is in California. It's near Monterey.
Near Monterey, okay. You out there, you big deadhead?
I am a big deadhead. How do you know?
Because you live in Pacific Grove.
I didn't know we had a rep as being deadheads.
You said it's next to Monterey. It's not.
I didn't know Monterey had a rep for being a big deadhead zone.
All right. Well, okay. What do you got? What do you got for this thing? We're going to talk about revenge later in the show. We'll be talking about that with our friend Stephanie Robinson. We'll talk about that with her. But I'll let you start it off. What do you got?
Sure. My revenge story, it comes from Keith Richards' autobiography, Life. And it involves the Stones, of course. In 1983, I guess, right before they were about to record Dirty Work, they were all posted up in a hotel. And for whatever reason, Mick Jagger called Charlie Watts. And the way he beckoned Charlie, he said, where's my drummer? And I guess Charlie's response was to put on his best suit, and he marched upstairs and decked Mick Jagger in the face.
And he did. He looked him in the face. Did what now?
He decked Mick Jagger in the face. He punched him.
He punched him out.
Yeah, he punched him out. And Keith relates it that Mick was about to fall through like the window out of a balcony, and the only reason Keith saved him was because Mick was wearing his Keith's wedding suit. Or wedding jacket.
Mm-hmm. So that's that sounds more like assault, though. That's not exactly revenge, because the guy insulted someone, then you shove him out a window.
Well, fair point, but I think Charlie took the exception to being called a mixed drummer.
Mm-hmm.
So
this one will not stand. Best show, hi.
Hello?
Yeah, hi. Welcome to the Best Show. Hi.
Oh, hi, Tom. This is Chuck from Milltown, New Jersey.
Chuck from Milltown, New Jersey. What's going on tonight, Chuck?
I had something for the topic.
What do you got?
The Van Morrison Revenge recordings.
Yeah, that's pretty good. When he was fighting with his record label, and then he goes and records, like, literally the dumbest album you've ever heard.
Right, it was like 31 nonsense songs, like all about a minute each.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. We're not starting the list yet, but you might have primed the pump there, my friend.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Tom. All right.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's a Grateful Dead thing. They're not good. That's not good. Like, in the scheme of things, it sounds like, they sound like if you gave, like Wilco, like, Novocaine shots in their hands and mouths.
Dancing.
But I sat in that car for 3 hours listening to that dumb thing.
Dancing.
Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, hi. Welcome.
Oh, my God. I'm a little starstruck.
Well, jeepers. Who's this?
This is Josh in Portland.
Josh in Portland, don't be stars. Why would you be stars? It's me. We're talking.
Oh, well, that's amazing. I'm very happy to be talking to you.
Well, it's sweet to have you on the show. What's up, Chief?
Well, I wish I had a revenge story. I don't really have one, but I just wanted to call and say thank you for making the best podcast there is, and I just look forward to it every week.
You're right. Well, thank you for saying it. And look, I agree. I agree. Thank you.
And can I just say one more thing? I wanted to thank Pat Byrne, too, because he had said some nice words about some music that I made, and it meant a lot to me.
And what music did you make? What is this now?
Well, I make music. I don't want to plug myself. I just want to say thanks to Pat.
No. You walked all the way to the edge of a plug. Don't pull back now.
Okay, well, I make music under the name The Modern Folk, and Pat had given me a very complimentary quote about the most recent album I made, and I really just wanted to say thanks. It meant a lot to me.
Well, that's nice. Pat's a nice guy. Pat says you're welcome.
That's a good album. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, there you go. Very exciting. You and Pat, best buds, huh? So, well, thank you. Look, I'll say this about the show. We do the show. There's no ads on it. It's not behind any kind of paywall. Show's available for everybody. We have this Patreon.com/thebestshow. And that's how you support the show. And that's what you go there, Patreon.com/thebestshow. And if you can do $1 a month, you do $1 a month. You do more than that, you do more, and we give you stuff for, wait, who's back? Who's barking there? Who's that?
I'm walking my dog. It's actually some other dog.
What's your dog's name?
Pepper. I call it Pep-Pep.
Pep-Pep?
Yeah.
But your dog's name is, for the proper name is Pepper.
Yeah, but you know, you call your dog by a lot of different names sometimes. I'm sure you know what I mean.
Yeah, you give your dog a little nickname, a little fun nickname. So what's the deal with the Pepper? Where'd you get Pepper?
I got it from a lady who had one too many pets, and she was trying to get rid of her, and I just went over there and picked her up, and I've had her ever since.
Great. I love it. You took care of a dog in need.
Yeah,
you're all right,
my new home.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Tom.
You have a great night.
You too.
So anyway, yeah, it's patreon.com/thebestshow, and we have all sorts of stuff going up there. We have the Friends podcast goes up exclusively for a window on the Patreon. And get this, if you're giving $10 a month or more by June 1st, you're going to get the first ever Best Show patch. We'll send you a Best Show patch. You put it on your jacket, your jean jacket, whatever you want, your motorcycle vest, your cuts, right? Is that what they call it? Right? They strip you of your cuts if you violate like a biker gang. You will not get stripped of this patch, though, this Best Show patch. You will not get stripped of it. It's not the Sons of Anarchy. Another show Mike ruined for me. There was like a season left. Mike goes, hey, did you see so-and-so died on the show? Like, I wasn't up to that yet. I was like a couple episodes behind. I'm just like, yeah, I'm not watching it now. First of all, it's beyond, because again, just imagine, I know I've said it before, if that actually happened, it would be the biggest news story in America. 100 people dead in a small town in California. All right. Phone number 201-332-3484. That is the number to be a part of the show tonight. Another thing I had to mention was the check. We sent the check out to the Community Food Bank of New Jersey in honor of Hollywood Handbook. That went out. That I did. We did send a $250 check to the food bank in honor of rival podcast Hollywood Handbook. You happy to be back, Dudio? It's nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. It's like going back to your hometown, huh? Right? Stuff looks a little smaller now, though, right? Oh, wow, the hallways of my school are a lot narrower than I thought. Yeah. There's no way this dude's got Hollywood in his eyes. Lipstick City. Right? Where's your favorite place to hang out? Where'd you hang out? The Grove? Right? You see Mario Lopez at the Grove? Fred Stoller? Who'd you see at the Grove? Who'd you see? Anyone? Is this guy taking a scenic route? Studio's 10 feet away. Whatever. God bless you. God, you're back. I love it. I love Dudio. I love his energy and his enthusiasm. And he's back on the best show. We missed you. I missed you, at least. Mike was not happy. He was loving it. Mike said to me last week, just like the good old days, huh? The pre-Dudio days. I said, no, that's wrong. You owe Dudio an apology. Best show, hi.
Hi, Tom. This is Mary from Cambridge.
Mary from Cambridge. Cambridge,
Cambridge, Massachusetts. Oh, and I'm calling because I just got back from hiking on the Appalachian Trail. And Tom, I was in New Jersey, and New Jersey is beautiful and incredible.
Yeah.
And I've hiked 1,400 miles of the trail, and the only state I was sad to leave was New Jersey.
New Jersey. Yeah, you know why? New Jersey's got it. That's what they say.
Yeah. Holy cow. I did not know this. I am embarrassed to say that I was not well educated about New Jersey.
I mean, what did you think you were going to see on the Appalachian Trail through New Jersey? Car tire repair places?
Well, I didn't really know, but the one place that I went that I was not looking forward to was a swamp. There's this section where the trail goes through like a mile and a half swamp that's a prehistoric lake. And Tom, I giggled the whole way through. It was unbelievably beautiful with this boardwalk that, like a New Jersey boardwalk, but not like a New Jersey boardwalk.
Was it called the Great Swamp you were in by any chance?
I don't know what it was called. Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if that's on the Appalachian Trail, but you walked, I don't think it is actually. So you walked through the Appalachian Trail starting where, Mary?
Well, this year I started at Delaware Water Gap, so right at the Pennsylvania-New Jersey border.
Okay.
And then I hiked through all of New Jersey. There's 72 miles through New Jersey, and then I ended after Bear Mountain on the other side of the Hudson. So this is my third run, and I'm just kind of chipping away at it.
That's fantastic.
And the thing that really surprised me, which is like on the trail, every 10 miles or so, there are these shelters that are just like three sides with an open wall and a really basic setting. Yeah, it's like a lean-to, exactly. Mm-hmm. And you usually get a lean-to, but you don't know what else you're going to get. And if you're lucky, you get a picnic table. Mm-hmm. And usually you carry all of your food in a bag, which you have to hang from trees at night so the bears don't get it.
Yeah.
And you had to, you know, have like a little trowel to dig a hole in order to go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. But all of the shelters in New Jersey had outhouses that not only did they have like the structure of the outhouse, but they also had toilet paper in them.
Yeah.
And hand sanitizer.
It's a classy state.
And this is, oh my God, this is the part you're going to love, or Mike is going to love,
yeah.
Is that instead of having to hang your food 20 feet in the air from a tree, they had these bear boxes, which are these really large metal boxes with a special way to open them so that the bears can't open them.
Uh-huh.
So it was wonderful. You could put your food in there. And, Tom, three times at three different shelters, I opened up the bear box, and somebody had left in there beer.
Beer.
Coors Light.
Coors Light.
That somebody, some local, had hiked up the mountain to leave in there so that long-distance hikers could drink beer when they got there.
Mary, you shouldn't have said that now, because AP Mike's going to walk the Appalachian Trail now looking for free beer.
Whatever gets you out there to do it.
Yeah. Hey, where's the free beer? I heard there's free beer in the woods.
Yeah, there was. New Jersey.
Well, I'm so glad you had a good time doing the trail. It's very exciting.
It is very exciting. And I'm glad to be back. I missed your show the other week because I was out hiking, so it is nice to be back to hear it.
It doesn't go away. You can't
It's always there.
Yes.
Thank God.
Well, it's so nice to talk to you, and I hope I know who you are. Wait a minute, right? Don't I know you, Mary?
You do. Yes, we have a mutual friend.
We do. Well, I'd say more than a friend for you.
He's at the baseball game right now.
Yes.
And he had a two-hour rain delay, so I don't know. Maybe they're in, like, the third inning or something.
Josh.
He's dreamy.
Josh Cantor, the organist for the Boston Red Sox.
That's right.
Yo,
that's right.
Boston Red Sox.
Yes, and he also does a really good job getting the dishes done and making sure that the kitty litter box is empty. So nice. He's a man of many talents.
He's not too humble. He goes, he plays organ all night, then he goes home and changes the litter box.
He's a good man. He's a good person.
He is a good person.
True story.
Yeah. Well, Mary, I'm glad you're home safe and sound, and you welcome back, and you have a grand evening.
Thank you, Tom. Have a good night.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, here comes AP Mike on the Appalachian Trail.
Hey, where's the beer? Where's the beer?
Like going to look in the boxes. Drives his car onto the Appalachian Trail. Hey, Pat. Pat left. He's walking his dog. He didn't leave. See, that's the dynamic right there. Dude, yeah. Pat left. It makes it sound like he had somewhere better to be. Then Mike is like, yeah, he's walking his dog. Yeah. Mike, it's my guest here. Would you tell Dudio to bring her in, please, to escort her, and make sure she has a beverage and not that cheap Kirkland Light. That's just for you. The guests don't drink Kirkland Light. You drink Kirkland Light, Mike. If I find out that Stephanie's drinking Kirkland Light, you're in such trouble.
Stella.
What now? Yeah, good. Okay, that's why we got the good stuff. It's not even that good. That's why we got the not horrible stuff for the guests. But Kirkland Light. You guys just drank Kirkland Light now.
That's all we drink.
That's it. You can sit in the blue chair. Okay, all right. Seriously, though. What are you drinking, Mike?
Coors Light.
You're... It's a demerit for you. I told you. Until you show me, you made me listen to this dumb Grateful Dead thing. You're on Kirkland Light for the rest of the summer. Okay? And Dudio, take the Kirkland Light out of, not even cold. I didn't want it cold for him.
Okay.
Skunk it.
Just put it in the alley?
Yeah, skunk it. Put it on the roof. Put it on the roof. And then when you want a beer, Mike, you have to go up and get a Kirkland Light off the roof. Right? Hot Kirkland Light. Oh, my goodness. Look who's here as I live and breathe. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. It's my friend Stephanie Robinson.
My bud. How's
right?
it going?
Good. Welcome to the best show.
I love it.
Do you?
I'm happy to be here. I love it already.
What are they like out there?
They're very sweet. You had a sweet little gang out here.
Which one?
Don't make me do this.
No, no. You're...
No.
Okay.
It's not going to happen. No one's being singled out.
Okay.
It's not a Stephanie Robinson game.
Okay. But which one creeped you out the most?
Oh, come on, bud.
Okay, was that your mouthing Mike? Okay. Mike. That's what I thought. I thought it would be Mike.
Mike, you know, work on it, Mike.
Yeah. See, Mike? Mike, yeah. Tighten it up. Don't creep the guests out. It's hard enough to get people to come down here anymore. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This is an honor.
Well, it's mutual.
Oh, come on.
So now you, Stephanie Robinson, you are a true or false. You're a writer.
True. True. That's a true statement.
Okay. True or false, you write for the show Atlanta.
Also true.
True or false, it's my favorite show.
I don't know.
It's true.
Is it true?
Yes.
That's really sweet of you.
Is it
actually your favorite show?
Yes. It's my favorite, probably my favorite show ever.
No, come on.
I'm not kidding. Ever. What show would I like better?
I don't. You're really into Friends these days.
Yes, but look. Friends is not even about good or bad. Friends just is. Friends is like saying like leaves or something.
Friends
like they're
like
just there.
It's the Dunkin' Donuts.
Friends
of the world.
Friends kind of is like Dunkin' Donuts. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
You can't remember it not being there.
Yeah, there was never a time where you know could conceive of a world where Dunkin' Donuts did not exist.
At this point, Friends has become like that because then it also is like. Sometimes you'd be like, Dunkin' Donuts is all right. And other times you're just like, ugh, Dunkin' Donuts is disgusting.
Exactly.
But it doesn't leave.
Yeah, never. But it's really sweet of you to say that Atlanta's your favorite show.
Yes, I watch.
When did you decide that you needed to start watching it? Were you intrigued immediately, or was it after there was a little bit of buzz generated?
No. I was... This is the way my relationship with this went down. I'm not gonna name names, but we
sure.
had the look. I'll say it's a Paul.
Paul.
Paul Sims.
Yeah, Paul
we
Sims.
Know Paul.
We know Paul Sims.
Paul was saying like, "Hey, I'm working on this pilot with Donald Glover," and it was like 2 years went by, or like almost, and then he was just like,
"God."
Then he like showed me an early link to it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like. You have one day to watch this. And, like, I watched it, and I was like, oh, my God, this is great. Because it had a whole different energy than you think it's going to have.
It's kind of nuts. I think I had the same reaction, too, when I got a similar link when mm-hmm. I was in interviews to staff for the show. I think I had 2 days to watch it, and I watched it, like, 5 times every day.
Yeah.
But I had it, and it was like, I couldn't wrap my mind around it at all.
Because it seems like when you hear it that there's going to be like a show, like, oh, there's going to be like a hip-hop show on FX, you think it's going to be like straight out of Compton.
You think it's straight
thing.
Out of Compton, like a little bit of Empire, at least that was my
mm-hmm.
my first impression when, you know, people were telling me about what it was and what the idea was. And then eventually people were agents and managers were like, it's kind of like Girls, but
mm-hmm.
set in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I still don't. Know what that means.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's accurate at all, but it was so strange that that's mm-hmm. sort of what people were saying.
Yeah. And but then it was like, yeah, this is, and I remember people being like saying to people, like, they were like, oh, Atlanta, they're just like, what's that going to be like? And I was like, hey, I saw the pilot. It's awesome. You're going to eat your words when you see it. And then everybody ate their words. Everybody. These comedy jerks. It's too cool for school. Comedy people ready
I'm
to
sure
just dump on anything.
There's people that still hate it. You know, there's people that still hate everything.
Stupid. Now, you've worked on the show since the get-go.
Since the beginning.
Yes.
I have.
And you wrote the Juneteenth episode.
I did. I wrote the Juneteenth episode, season one.
But the thing people don't understand is, like, it's not like you just walked in and wrote that one and then you went home. It's like you're there for the whole thing.
Yeah.
And you, every, there's a part of everybody who writes on a thing in every episode of a show. Like, people yeah. never understand because they're always just like, dude, they must have got new writers. Like, when a thing isn't the way, like, when it changes. Like,
yeah, right, right, right.
As if there's just, like, this, like, storage locker. It's like, they're just like, bring in the new writers from storage locker B. And then they come in and start writing. It's like,
yeah.
No, you're there the whole time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And sometimes I've found that there's more, I'll have contributed more to episodes I did not write.
Absolutely.
Like, that's the giant mystery.
But something people, yeah, people don't understand is that there, I mean, it goes a few ways, is that when you write an episode, I feel like rarely it is 100% your episode.
Yeah.
That's one way to go. Where it is 100% your episode, that's, I think that's a rare thing. Then there's episodes that aren't yours that you've contributed a ton to, and then there's mm-hmm. episodes that you write that are sort of an amalgamation of everybody else's, you know, thoughts and whatever. And yeah, it's an interesting balance of idea and creativity, and I don't think a lot of people realize that.
Yeah, it's a strangely collaborative
yeah.
medium in that way. So you did that episode. You worked the whole, you've been on the whole thing.
I've been on the whole thing.
But then you wrote that, you did that one. Then the second season, which, thank you for shutting the air off. I was starting to wonder when Rocky was going to come in and start punching me. It's on auto.
It's on
auto. You didn't shut the air off. I tell you, they squeeze every nickel out of this place.
Yeah, I love
put
it.
The air at probably 50. Just because they can. They wouldn't do it at home. There's a whole thing with these guys out there. Look, I love all three of them.
They're great guys. What can I say?
They would not do the things they do here at home.
Well,
there's a jar of pretzels out there, peanut butter filled pretzels. Every week, the lid is loose on it. And I have to tighten the lid. I guarantee at, say, Pat's house.
Sure.
That lid's not loose.
No, it's tight. It's sealed tight.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't want those stale.
Hey, I don't want my peanut butter pretzels going stale.
He paid for them.
Yeah. Well, Tom's. Yeah. He'll just go buy another tub of them. Go wait online at Costco for another half hour. So, yeah. So, thank you for... Well, they didn't do it. They actually... It was the auto. Good. Did the other pizza show up?
It's out there.
Okay.
And I saw that happen.
Did they offer you any pizza?
Oh, yeah, I had some pizza. Good. It's a pizza I've never had before.
Good. Well, every pizza is a pizza you haven't had before, it's, technically.
I mean, yeah, I appreciate that. Put that on my tombstone. Yeah.
Yes. That sounds like sounds like Stephen Wright is, like when the well's running a little dry. Every pizza is technically a pizza you haven't had before. So we have Stephanie Robinson here, and just so you worked on season two now of Atlanta.
I worked on season two of Atlanta.
My favorite show.
Very sweet.
We're going to... Do you mind getting inside baseball with things? Is this a bummer to you?
No, it's not a bummer at all. I mean, I'll tell you when we're getting cutting a little too close
to
home.
Yeah, I'm not going to... Look, this is not... We're not playing gotcha here. This is not...
Okay.
This is not...
I don't know. This is not a very... This is a big, fancy show. I don't know what you got up your sleeve.
This is not... 60 minutes. We're not trying to leave. Have you leave here ruined. Like, well, I guess I don't work in Atlanta anymore. Thanks, interview. So, season two.
Right.
What was going into season two? Because season one was a huge, I thought it was a huge accomplishment. And drew a line.
Sure.
But when you go into season two, what's the game plan now to up the ante?
Right. I think the game plan, weirdly, was to not up the ante, at least from my perspective. I will say season one, there was a lot of talk of, oh, we're going to get canceled.
Okay.
We're going to get canceled season one. So when season two comes around, it's people love it, and that's a surprise to us. Mm-hmm. So in our minds, it was to do the opposite of Up the Ante. It's just, okay, why don't we just do the thing that we did the first season, which was focus on the things that made us laugh and the things that we thought were interesting and not mm-hmm. pay too much attention to the noise of everybody else. And I think we're very, very... you're very, very into what we thought was going to be the coolest thing.
Mm-hmm. Because you're doing it now. You're starting season two. How many people had seen season one before you start work? So
season one was airing when we were writing season two.
Okay. And you're starting to see,
like, in real time what people are thinking. And we would watch at least a couple episodes, not every episode, a couple episodes we did catch together and, were able to sort of access Twitter and see what they were responding. Mm-hmm. Everyone was responding to, and that was kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm. To be just actually having the thing you worked on be seen while you're trying to make more of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Kind of nuts.
It is nuts. People get in your head a little bit.
I think there was like a little bit of pressure, but there wasn't a ton. I think it's again we wanted to top ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Not anybody else.
Because then the episodes were like you wrote the Bibby episode.
I wrote the barbershop episode.
That's Mike's favorite episode of the entire show.
That's really both sweet. Oh, yeah. Mike.
Right, Mike? Yeah, right. Mike likes Bibby. Mike wants more Bibby. See, Mike, Bibby.
Atlanta Bibby season.
Yeah. Mike wants a spinoff with Bibby.
It can happen. Bibby. We've been talking a lot about, you know, you and I, the idea of spinoffs.
Yes.
In shows. They don't do that a lot anymore. This comes from a time that where I didn't exist as a human being, that there were shows and then you just spun every single character off into a different show.
Yes.
And they were all hits.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a spinoff of the Goldbergs.
Is there really?
Year. Yes.
What's it called?
The Gym Teacher has his own show now.
Oh, stop it.
I'm serious.
Is he good? Have you watched that show?
I've watched it.
All right.
It's fun. It's a nice show to watch when your head hurts.
Oh, yeah. Listen, there's no judgment. I just, you know.
You just want a nice thing where people are being nice to each other. Where they're not nice to each other, then they mm-hmm. say, like, hey, I'm going to be nice to you.
Sorry about that.
You're my little brother. I'm going to treat you better. Or like a mother is nice to the daughter. It's like, yeah, I'm a little too hard on you.
So what's the deal with this gym teacher? What's his story?
I don't know. It's a gym teacher. It's okay. Gonna be. It's him and it's Tim Meadows and it's.
Oh, I like
I think
him.
They moved it into the. Because the Goldbergs in the '80s, I think they moved this into the '90s.
I see.
So now the Goldbergs like older, right? Like, what are they gonna come back and hang out at the high school now? They're like 27. The one kid already looks old enough. The one kid on the Goldbergs looks like he's supposed to be like a senior in high school,
right.
And he has a full receding hairline. That one kid. It's like the hoods in Greece, when they were in Greece, and the one guy is just like, but does she have a friend? That guy?
Clearly like a 40-year-old man.
Yeah, he's like literally 40 years old on the bleachers at a high school.
Not to mention everyone in that cast was, what, like 30?
Yes.
Playing, you know, 17-year-olds.
And it's also a great message, too, for... Especially for young ladies to realize if you're wholesome and you want to get that guy's attention.
You
want to
get the guy, listen.
Turn into trash.
Get a cigarette in those lips.
Yeah.
Take off that turtleneck. Yeah. Slap on a leather cat suit.
Leather and spandex. Which in the 50s, where was she coming from dressed like that in the 50s also? So it's like.
Who dressed her?
I think she just showed up herself dressed like.
No, I'm saying, but it's like she, you know, I have a lot of questions. You know that she couldn't do an American accent, Olivia Newton-John. That's why she's Australian in the movie.
Is that she could not pull off the American accent?
That's what I hear. That's the lore.
That she couldn't do, yeah. Well, it certainly makes sense why an Australian person. You ever notice on a lot of these movies there's like an over, like, it's always like, every third boss is like British in everything.
Yeah.
Is that actually how the world is, where suddenly you're like,
so.
I'm going to work at my office. Well, like, hey, would you come into my office? Like, well, they're not doing a Cockney accent.
They're
like,
never Cockney, yeah. But they're, you know, they're jerks. They're just slicked up British jerks.
Yeah.
And I've not met a one of them
in this
country.
Yeah. And apparently they've taken over every industry.
Advertising.
Yes, advertising. Would be great if they were Cockney, like, oi, get in my
office. Get in here.
What's the deal with this advertisement you're writing here?
I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, boss.
I'm so sorry, sir. I'll try harder next time. A real human man, American man, says that to the scary man from Oliver Twist.
Who now also is the CEO of an advertising company. So you don't know these spinoffs.
I don't know these spinoffs.
You know what the Friends spinoff was, right?
Joey.
I
know that. That one I was around for. I watched a couple
another
episodes.
Spin-off. What's another spinoff you'd know about?
Angel.
Angel was off of Buffy,
mm-hmm.
Right? What's a spinoff, Mike? What's your favorite spinoff?
Well, there was a bunch from Mary Tyler Moore.
Yeah, from Mary Tyler Moore. It was like 11 shows spun off Mary Tyler Moore. Oof. Rhoda. I don't want to talk about that. Give me a headache. These old shows. These fossils can't stop watching old TV. Watch a new show every once in a while. Everybody talk about Sopranos. Newest show they've seen is like Seinfeld. Like, that's 22 years old at this point. You watch Seinfeld, they're running back to check their answering machine. It's like, this is a thing of the past now.
This is not the world we live in.
Yeah, like, I gotta get that answering machine tape. What?
The whole plot point.
Yeah. Well, there was It was Columbo that was like high tech in its time, but it was kind of like, Columbo would be like, apparently they used an answering machine is how the person got away with
his murder. Was Columbo actually high tech? Was that like the...
For 1974.
You think so?
Well, if you're dropping an answering machine into things, he would just use things that now you're just
wow. I had no idea. When I look back, I just assumed that everything he was referencing was a commonplace thing. And
it'd be kind of like, you had a video cassette recorder playing the ball game on it. That made it seem like it happened earlier than it did. A video cassette recorder. Thanks.
Video cassette recorder.
Thanks, Columbo. So, but now you're working on this Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
And now you're like, because every episode became its own thing, like its own world almost
for
the second season.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean this. I'm telling you, any people listening right now, if you have not watched the show, watch this show. When do I tell people, command people to watch things? It's my favorite show. But then it culminates, to some would say, with the Teddy Perkins episode.
Yeah.
In terms of the weirdness quotient, then was like, you could picture somebody at FX being like, hey, was this supposed to be a hip hop show at some point? What is this, a haunted house now?
Like, haunted house.
Like, they're just like, didn't we think we were buying a hip-hop show, be like about watching a guy do rap records, trying to make it in the rap game. It's like, I think this
is weird.
Yeah.
It's definitely, yeah. What did you think of Teddy Perkins?
I thought it was the greatest. I loved it. Yeah.
What did you love that you were surprised more or more about the content? Which I think that both are extremely valid answers, but I've noticed that people are a little bit split and like, oh, I loved it because I wasn't expecting it, mm-hmm. and people who loved it just solely because they love spooky things.
Well, the thing is, first of all, the whole show, especially the second season, every second felt like something could happen at any point.
Right.
Like it felt like your head was in a vice watching it. Like you just don't know what is going to happen. Which I thought was fantastic. It's just a heightened state of, there's like a mid-level paranoia threat running through everything.
Sure.
So when that episode starts, you're just like, oh, this is just a horror movie now. Like,
right.
And yeah, so I was just like, oh, this is what this is like. But this is like going to a different level here. Yeah, it was really. And what was that like when you're making that and Donald Glover is dressed like that, like Teddy Perkins?
And Donald Glover wasn't in the episode. Teddy Perkins plays Teddy Perkins.
I understand. Yes.
I didn't have the honor of meeting Teddy Perkins, but I hear that he was a very interesting man.
Sure.
Writing that episode, it was, I think, a lot of it actually, in my mind, I thought that episode was way more comedic, or was going to be. And I don't mean that as shade on the episode, because I think it's brilliant the way it is, but I think the way that we sort of approached it was way funnier. And that it was, we were interested in, like, what kind of guy would, and not, I think people parallel, make the connection, rather, to Michael Jackson. And there are definitely some parallels there, and some very apparent ones, but I don't think it was necessarily about Michael Jackson. I think it was just about, like, a weirdo who lived alone in this giant house, who freaked with his face enough to...
yeah.
To look the way he looked, and what kind of person is that? What kind of person would do that to themselves? And we had a bunch of kind of funny premises and details that did end up making in the final cut, one of which was the ostrich egg, which was a soft-boiled ostrich egg. And we sort of became obsessed with the idea, at least in the writer's room, of can you boil an ostrich egg? And so we started looking up a bunch of YouTube videos of boiled ostrich eggs, and we came across this man who boiled an ostrich egg for his young son in Australia. And it was horrific. I mean,
the boiling of an ostrich egg.
No, it was actually horrific, and we were so repulsed, and we're like, what kind of man would do this? And that's how Teddy Perkins was born.
For his child.
And we eventually did... We were in London for a time, a few of us, and Donald went to the grocery store, and I guess in the UK they sell ostrich eggs, along with regular eggs, so he bought one, and we threw it on the grill.
We
threw it on a grill with grill tongs, and, we flipped it around a few times, and about an hour later we soft-boiled an ostrich egg, and... We cracked it open with a mallet because those shells are thick.
Yeah.
And it tasted okay.
All right. Well,
it smelled eggy. Like a lot of egg. It was like getting like a pulpy, like bowl of egg.
Yeah. You're on your own with that's not happening in my,
sure,
not my house. Right, Mike?
Yeah.
I mean, what?
I have a quick question about the ostrich egg.
Hold on a second. What is this?
Quick question.
Mike?
Yeah.
I told you to stop Pat when he comes in with these questions. Go ahead.
Was the one in the show, was that an actual ostrich egg or was that a prop?
I have no idea. Really? I wasn't there for that day. Okay. But I don't know. That's actually, now I'm curious. Now I've got phone calls to make.
All right.
I'll get back to you guys on that one.
Pat, good question.
It was a great question. Stumped me.
Yeah. Get out of here. Mike, don't let him back in here. He got lucky. Now he's going to be emboldened.
Just come in when he wants.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to ask a question.
Guns blazing.
Yes. He's going to ask a question just like, do they make the stuff up when they do this? It's like, oh, Pat, you pushed it one step too far. And I think he even knows the answer of, you know, they don't make it up on the spot, Pat. Or the next question, you ever go to those things where somebody would be like a Q&A and they're just like, you're like, wait, that wasn't a question, where they're just like, that was just you lecturing me now.
Did you see that Westworld video?
No.
There was, oh, God, I forget, what was it? I think it was Tribeca. The Westworld had a panel, and they opened it up to questions, and a guy, the first question they answer, it was just a man who is telling Jonathan Nolan that he's got a screenplay that he wants him to read. And it goes on so long. He's like complimenting the show for the first 10 seconds and then just moves into, I write screenplays and me and my brother do screenplays and we hope to one day, Jonathan Nolan, have you do screenplays and we wrote a movie. And it's, I mean, that's, Q&As are just,
they're just scary. They're scary because it's
For that reason.
Yeah. Yes. There's just no, winning at a thing. If you say the thing, you can't just ask a nice question about how the thing is made.
That's all.
So, yeah, I'm looking here. Andy Kindler wants to know how he can get on the Goldbergs reboot. I don't know, Andy. That's, he just did what you just said. Andy, you just did. You just tweeted the version of asking me how to get you on the Goldbergs. I don't know. So, Stephanie Robinson, you worked on the season two of Atlanta.
Right.
And it was, it was the best.
That's good.
The best. They can never take that away from you. The best.
They can take everything
two
else.
Seasons. I think it's my favorite show. I really do.
You do?
Yes.
That's really sweet of you to say.
Just can't get enough. Now it's gone, though. Now the season wrapped up.
It's done. Now I've written on other shows.
Yes.
Man Seeking Woman's been canceled, though.
Yes. Man Seeking Woman.
Nothing to talk about. Other than I had an amazing experience and I thought it was a great show. That was my favorite show for a long time.
I don't have as many questions about
that's
that.
That's okay. You can have none of them. I thought I would just say it. I think a lot of people think that I just do one thing.
No, it's good. I mean? Yes. You wrote on Man Seeking Woman and then Atlanta. But the reason you're here now.
Oh, God. Tell me.
Because you have an interest in revenge.
Ugh.
Right?
I do.
That's your favorite thing is revenge.
It is one of my favorite things. And it's, I'm not, I say that with so much shame. Disclaimer that I'm very ashamed to get so much pleasure from it.
From a movie that has revenge in it. Or a book that has revenge
in it. Or a book or life.
Yes.
Like hearing, you know, someone slight one of my friends and they tell me how they got back at someone. It's like, oh.
Well, let me ask you some parameters before we start figuring out the best revenge stories ever.
All right.
What are the essentials for a revenge story?
Essential for a revenge story, I think, is that it has to be earned. It can't. In no way can it be minimal slights.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get on board with that. It has to be. It's got to be. At least for me, to really root for someone, it's got to be go big or go home. And big can be, you know, as simple as I got fired from my job.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be Count of Monte Cristo status where, you know, you stole my life and fiance. And
we will get into that.
Yes. But that's essential for me.
So the wronging.
It's got to be deserving of the revenge. Yes. I get wrong. You know, people wrong me all the time. And, you know, some people just, you know, aren't worth.
Yeah. What are you going to go with? Like, yeah, they didn't get my coffee order right. So then I went out and I smashed the windshield of the owner's car. It's like,
yeah, no.
Revenge.
No, it's like, that's just psychotic behavior, I think.
Yes, that falls to the revenged is the wrong one.
Right.
Which can happen in a revenge story.
Oh, sure.
Just the line of what's too far.
Oh, yeah. That's always blurred.
When is enough revenge enough?
When can he stop? And that is the biggest thing. That's the biggest lesson I learn in most stories of revenge. It rarely satisfies you in real life.
Revenge does not.
It's a momentary satisfaction. It's like having a Coke when you're too hot.
But it's, yes. But then you realize just like, I probably should have had water.
Water.
Not.
Yes.
Not a cold soda.
Exactly.
So the stakes have to be commensurate.
Yes, absolutely.
What other elements?
That's good. No one's ever asked me that before. Oh man.
Mike, you like revenge.
Yeah.
You're a vengeful lunatic. Is there an incident in your personal life that you've gotten revenge, Mike? And I don't want to hear about the Bruce Springsteen concert again. He tells his story. He fits it into any topic where he goes to this. He's seeing Bruce Springsteen at Giant Stadium, and there's a guy smoking a cigarette a couple of people away. And he goes, he doesn't even say to the guy smoking. He says to the guy's friend, hey, tell your friend to put that cigarette out or I'm going to put it out in his bleeping eye. Like, that's closer to what you were talking about of just like, that's. Right.
But there was a way to say, hey, dude, can you stop smoking?
Yeah, that's what he should have said. Hey, would you mind not smoking?
Hey, that's okay. We're all here to enjoy it.
No, this
concert.
Tough guy. What do you think? He thinks he's in like The Sopranos. He had a few beers. That's not an excuse, though. That's not a few beers. You have a few beers in you tonight. Are you going to put a cigarette out in my eye if I don't say the right thing? You're going to get me? See, that's a threat. It's a low-level threat, Mike.
I guess at that point it is threats, right? Like, you know, if it's not, you know.
Because he says, hey,
threats.
I had a couple beers in me that day. And then I look and realize, hey, he's got a couple beers in him now. What, I got a tiptoe now?
I think you might have to
walk on eggshells around this guy? Ostrich eggshells? Which would be easier to walk on.
Clearly, they're very thick.
Very thick, from what I've heard.
Shells.
But it tasted just like an egg.
It did. It tasted just like a boiled egg.
That's kind of gross.
It's pretty gross.
Eggs would just be like...
Kind of taste the same. Like, just regardless of size.
That's... Yeah, just the idea that like... Because ostriches are... How big is an ostrich?
You're asking the wrong gal. They're bigger than people.
Yes. So it's 10 feet high?
I wouldn't be surprised if some were.
Yeah. Dudio? Oh, he left. Oh, okay. Oh, he left. What is this? What are you guys playing musical chairs out there? Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm going now. Yeah, Frasier is a spinoff, I'm being told.
Frasier is a spinoff.
A spinoff of
Cheers. But here, as a kid watching Frasier, I thought Frasier was his own show until I think I was in my... early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was told that it wasn't, and I had no idea, I had no idea.
Suddenly you see Frasier hanging out at Cheers, you're like, why is Frasier at Cheers?
It almost cheapens it, because it doesn't, but it's like, he's got this whole life that I had no idea that, you know, I feel like now I've watched only a portion of this man's journey.
You didn't know the early, for you, Cheers is just called Frasier, the early years.
Yeah, and Woody Harrelson.
And Woody Harrelson, the early years. Imagine if that one dude didn't croak. Woody Harrelson might be doing what, like construction? Right? He'd still be writing mixing cement
solo
right
movie.
Now.
Can you imagine if he was just like, there was a life, like a parallel universe where he was like mixing cement? Yeah.
Right now, Woody Harrelson, if that guy who played Coach didn't keel over... Woody Harrelson would be saying, hey, when's that Han Solo movie come out? Like, I'm going to need, and they're like, comes out on next Friday. He's like, hey, I'm going to need next Friday off. I want to see. And his boss is like, no, can't
There's
do
no
it.
There's no way that's happening.
Oh, okay, boss. Okay. Like, he's just totally beaten
All
down.
All right, man.
You're right. You're right, boss. I'll see it on my own time. But he's in it. Because Coach dropped dead. You work in bars, right, Mike?
Yeah.
How accurate is Cheers?
Not accurate at all.
Not accurate.
Because I don't think there's an episode of Cheers where anyone threw up on themselves, as far as I recall.
or
urinated in the middle of the bar, which is, that's Mike's Cheers. It's just like, guys... Mike's tending bar, suddenly here, boom, boom, and he just sees, making your way in the world today, and Mike's watching a guy wet himself in the middle of the bar with the Cheers music playing. Right, Mike? Where everybody knows your name. Mike, I'm going to kill you. Like, that's how they know your name. I'm going to kill you, Mike. You cut me off, I'm going to kill you. So revenge. Do you have an actual revenge story, Mike?
No.
All right, yeah, because I took the one off the table for you. Your Bruce Springsteen cigarette story. So the stakes have to be commensurate.
They do. I think that's, for me, mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. What is an ideal revenge story?
Oh, ideal?
How about a movie? What's a movie?
I will go back to Count of Monte Cristo. That or Kill Bill. Those are very high stakes. Like, this should not have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so
but
Kill
I
Bill.
Love it, you know, because it's Tom, I love the long con.
Okay.
I gotta say it. Count of Monte Cristo, it's not like, oh, you betrayed me and stole my wife. And the next day I'm back in your face about mm-hmm. it. It's, you did all those things and I rotted in a prison for decades.
Yeah. Almost died many times.
Almost died many times. I had to break out of a prison and find a man's treasure. Forgot about me.
I had to pretend to be a dead body.
Yeah.
Get thrown into
the sea.
Thrown into the sea in a bag with weights tied to it.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Get out.
Also, he learned so much. What did he, in the jail cell, he learned how to fence.
Yeah.
He learned how to read, and he became a new man.
From the crazy old man that nobody thought was.
Who plays that man? Richard? Is that Richard Harris?
I don't know. I don't know the movies. I just know the book.
Movies? Yeah. All right. Well,
I read the book last year. It was the best thing I ever read.
The whole thing,
life.
The Unabridged.
Yes. Yes, I read the Unabridged.
No, I haven't read any of those.
Well,
books.
No, they
just watched
Mike.
The
Mike read it to me. Actually, no, it was like 1,400 pages.
So long.
It was, but it was the best. It's the best, though. Just imagine you're reading this thing for hundreds of pages. He finally gets, he gets out of the water, ends up on, a pirate, runs with these pirates, almost gets killed. He's naked. He has to claw his way, ends up on this island, Monte Cristo, where this old man in the prison is just like, I hid all this treasure, and it's there. Yeah. Nobody believes this old coot. So then he goes to the island, and he finds all this treasure.
Right.
And then, just jump forward years now. Just jump forward years, and you never
love
hear
it.
About this guy again. What's his
I
name
love
again?
It.
What's his matter. Real name?
Doesn't matter.
Dumas wrote it.
Dumas wrote it.
Yes. Then you jump in. Everybody's like, whoa, the Count of Monte Cristo did this. And they never say.
So great. They never say it's him.
Yeah. And it's the best thing ever because you're just like, you're reading it. You're just like, he's the Count of Monte Cristo. He will not say it's him. And the only one who knows it was him was the woman who he was supposed to marry.
Yeah.
She knows it's you.
I'm getting riled up right now. I love that. I love,
because they all teamed up and took it away. They took his job away. I hate that he's got the job.
Yeah. They took the job.
The other guy's, I hate he's got the woman.
Yep.
I hate that.
Yep.
And the other guy's just he hated his father.
Yes.
He hated his relationship
with his
father.
Every single aspect of this man.
And they all teamed up. They're like,
poor
let's
man.
Ruin this guy because all he is a nice guy.
He's a good person.
Yeah.
He's a good
and they
person.
Took it away, and then he came back and he ruined them all.
But they all forgot about him.
Yeah.
It's the thing. They thought he was dead. And the whole time he was, and then he comes back. There's no way they have no idea who this guy is. Yeah.
But they've all gotten more successful than ever.
Which I love.
Yeah.
But let them get more successful. Let them do their thing.
They thought this guy was
totally
dead and buried. We're also, we use that as a launching pad. His death, us getting rid of him, launched us into the greatest successes of our lives.
More treasure. More for the taking, I say.
And that one rat whose father was a bum, and then he lied when he reviewed the case, he lied because it was going to make his father look bad.
Look bad. He's making his dad look bad. And he was like, I can't do that, but I know what's going on here. He didn't listen. I love it. The more people that betray you that need to go down in the fire, it's worth it at that point.
Yeah.
At that point, I think the thing I love about revenge is justice. That's all I care about.
Is the justice part
of it. Is it just? Is it, you know, I mean, revenge for the sake of revenge. You know, I don't know.
Hold on. Wait, don't. I want you to be able to, I want to look you in the face as I read these. Okay. Carrie. Yeah, that's a great one.
Oh, I love Carrie's, Carrie. That one, well earned. Right, well earned.
You've earned. Speaking of well earned, you can talk into the mic. Not talking to the mic. Okay. Don't worry.
I love Carrie.
Carrie, that's great because they treat her like garbage.
Yeah.
Hey, Dudio,
yeah.
Can you keep score on this for the top? If we're going to do top 50?
Yeah, do we have one yet?
Look, I think Counter Mike Christo has got to be number one.
Okay.
Because I agree. Stephanie agrees. Do you know it, Mike?
I haven't read it.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No. All right. The movie good?
I mean, I enjoy it just for the pure revenge of it all.
Okay.
I must say.
Who's in it?
Jim Caviezel.
This is like a recent version. Is there even like
maybe
the
more recent
one
version? I mean, there's an older one as well.
Yeah.
I prefer the newer one because.
Check it out.
So Carrie.
Carrie, yeah.
Carrie's way up there.
Yeah.
Because that's
She's
got
to be.
She's got everybody going
listen,
after.
She's got her mom screaming, and the raven was called Sin over and over and over.
And all she's doing is growing up.
She's existing.
Because her only sin was that she just went from a girl to a woman.
Her mom is shoving a Bible in her face, beating her with it.
Yeah.
The kids
on dirty pillows, right?
Yeah.
That's right, Mike.
The kids on their school bikes are screaming at her, crazy Carrie, crazy Carrie, crazy Carrie.
Yeah.
She can't deal with that going away to school.
Then she comes back. She torches that school.
John Travolta?
John Travolta.
God, he goes down.
Yeah. The cars are crashing. Everything's... She wipes them all out. Then you have here Death Wish.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3.
I've never seen Death Wish 1, 2, or 3.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. Death Wish 1. Not the Bruce Willis one. There was one. I know you're a young person.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
You're young. You have to realize, Mike. Stephanie's young.
Yeah, I know.
She's not going to hang with your references. You can start talking about Kojak. She doesn't know what you're talking about, right? You can start talking about Gunsmoke. I don't want to hear it.
Little Joe?
Talk about Bonanza, Gunsmoke.
Little Joe.
Save your old references. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want this show to age out either. That's the other thing, Mike. This show can't age out with these old-timey
references. Hey, it has a young audience. I'm trying to bring in older people.
I don't know. We
got a lot of time on our hands.
You think it's a problem for me to get old people to listen to this show? Old people. They're Death Wish was Charles Bronson.
Okay.
And it starts in, the first one, he's in New York. And then these hoods, they beat and sexually assault his wife and daughter, right?
Yeah,
of course, classic.
Are they both dead?
Yeah.
They both die.
Yeah.
And then Bronson, because he starts off like, it's the most button-pushing movie you've ever seen in your life, where he's just like, he's like a liberal, and he's all like, I don't like violence and stuff. And then they kill his family, so he's just like, he goes and gets a gun, then it just starts mowing everybody down. So in Death Wish 2, he moves to Los Angeles.
To do what?
Mow more people down.
Who? For the same transgression?
I can't remember what got him started in Death Wish 2. But Death Wish 3.
Okay, let's hear it.
Death Wish came out in the 70s.
Right.
Death Wish 2 was probably like 81, 82.
Okay.
Then between Death Wish 2 and Death Wish 3, the movie Rambo came out.
Sure.
Which had the highest like body count in it. So now they're like, hey, let's make Death Wish 3, but we gotta... Death Wish, they probably kills like 4 people in it.
Yeah.
Death Wish 2 is probably like 8. Mm-hmm. Death Wish 3, I think it's probably like 150 people he mows down. He mows down an entire neighborhood.
That would be. I'm just thinking ahead. You know, maybe a Patreon, bonus would be us just going through Death Wish 3, counting.
Oh, there, it's on YouTube.
Is there something?
Somebody already did a YouTube.
Oh,
it's like ding, ding, one of those.
Man. Okay,
because
too bad.
He just goes nuts.
He just goes nuts because his old army buddy gets like killed, and there's one of the greatest scenes ever is. His old buddy Bennett, who runs, the gang led by Manny Fraker.
Okay.
This guy who looks like Ron Howard.
But
it was another one of these gangs where it was like a United Colors of Benetton gang. Like,
imagine Ron Howard and Adam Ant.
Yeah.
Brought to Adam Ant.
Where he had colorful pirate paint.
Very hot.
A lot of pirate paint.
So then Death Wish 3, I've seen Death Wish 3 probably 25 times in my life.
Why?
It's one of because it's the one of the worst. It's so funny.
It's good.
It's the best. Yeah.
Okay.
Bennett gets his machine gun out of his. He goes, because they burn his cab company down. He's like, it's my shop. And they hold him back. And then he goes, you SOBs. He goes to his closet. He takes out this army, full on, not like a the kind of you need three people to operate. He's gonna So then he goes out on the fire escape, and and you hear the greatest loop line ever is look out, he's got a gun. And then you hear someone go, it's not working, kill the MF-er. The greatest loop line in history is that they run up the fire escape, throw him off the fire escape. Then Bronson is always he's always Wilby's coming. He keeps talking about Wilby, and Wilby is just his gun. Some idiot ships him his gun. And then the gang leader, Manny Fraker, at one point he picks the phone up. He's like, yeah, Fraker here. We're going to need all the gangs. As if that's how gangs work.
We need all the gangs.
So they all pour in, and they take, and then and at this point, he had come into this neighborhood where there was this guy, the Giggler, for example. The Giggler he would snatch people's bags and laugh when he ran away doing it. And then he comes in. It's the funniest thing. He comes in, he puts a camera over, she's walking down the street with the camera over his shoulder. And then he buys a popsicle. Isn't there he's walking.
You're asking me, you've seen it 25 times.
Okay. All right. And then the Giggler's watching. He's like, oh, he runs. Giggler grabs the thing. He drops a popsicle, pulls the biggest gun you've ever seen out of his thing, shoots a guy. And then the neighborhood, they're screaming from the windows, he shot the Giggler. He shot the gig. They're cheering.
They love
from
it.
The windows.
They've been.
Yes.
He delivered them.
Sure. And it just. So then all the gangs roll in, and then it's basically Bronson running around, mowing down waves of gang members.
Yeah.
Until the final one where the guy gets Bronson, and he's like, Bronson shoots him. He's like, I got him. And then he gets up. He's like, slaps his chest. It's bulletproof. And then Bronson reaches behind the couch and pulls out basically a rocket launcher.
Right.
And shoots the guy, blows the entire wall out.
Right, yeah.
And then naturally how gangs work, where if the leader's dead, then the gang looks. They're just well, I guess we're done being a gang.
It's classic Wizard of Oz syndrome.
They disperse.
You killed her. They look around.
We're free. We're free. Death Wish. So, Mike, you have Death Wish. Death Wish. These are. I'll put Death Wish 3 on the list. The first two are just repellent movies.
Okay.
What is one?
Hamlet.
Hamlet.
Yeah.
Now, what is that?
You may have gone to high school, right?
I did go to high school. Okay. It's not a very good high school. What was this now? That's Shakespeare.
Yeah.
And that's him going yeah, I'm going to get you.
The stepfather.
What's
marries
he say?
His mother.
Marries
okay.
His mom.
All right.
And yeah, he gets them.
Yeah, they didn't teach Hamlet in
he
my
kills
school.
Kills a bunch of people too. No. There's a lot of bodies at the end of that one. Believe it or not. Yeah.
My high school, we didn't do a whole lot of Shakespeare. My college, definitely not. My college was the kind of thing where, you went to a nice school, Mike, right?
Oh, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Stephanie, nice you've school. Gone to a nice school.
What does nice mean?
Well, tell me, would this happen at your school?
High school or
the college? At your college. Tell me if this could possibly happen at your college.
Okay.
You're sitting at your desk.
Uh-huh.
Someone walks into the room. You're not sure if that's A, the teacher, B,
okay.
another student,
sure.
C, a janitor.
I will say yes because they went to a liberal arts school, mm-hmm. and I feel like some of the teachers looked like they were fronting bands.
Okay, but you knew, but they would have a connect.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Because I would have a teacher. They would come into the room if they walked and took a seat in a desk. Oh, you're another student. If they sat at the desk at the front, I'm assuming you're the teacher, or you're just a really bold student. Yes. And if they picked the garbage can up in the room and took it out to like their larger garbage can to empty it out, okay, you're the custodian.
But in my case, even if I saw the custodian taking, or what seemed like a custodian taking a smaller garbage can up to a larger garbage can, there was a chance that it was just the teacher doing performance art.
Okay, so you're coming from a completely different angle where
I am.
The teacher would be
not helpful.
A janitor. Yeah. What would that be like?
What if I was teaching you as a janitor?
And just because I went to a fancy school, I had some weird experiences.
Sure.
I had a mandatory writing class my freshman year, and this professor was so unprepared. Mm-hmm. Almost every class was a staring contest. So imagine just going in there and just the teacher just staring at the class for
just super
long
flustered.
Periods of time.
Just staring.
Staring, yeah. He would run. He was so unprepared that he couldn't even – he didn't seem to have notes to keep the class going forward. Mm-hmm. And just dead – imagine like dead silence every 5 minutes, 10 minutes would break out.
Yeah.
And you're sitting there.
What was he
what,
doing?
What am I paying money
silence?
For this for?
Is he like trying to get his notes together during dead silence, or like
you know
what?
I was so out of my element when I went to this school because you know, I just went to a public high school. I didn't,
you mean drunk?
You know, I didn't know what to expect. But that was kind of a shocker. Yeah. I'm like, what? Don't, you know, this is an expensive school. And I've got to come in every morning and stare at this guy.
Yeah,
and he's a weird dude. He was a weird guy. You know? So, yeah, I mean, it's no guarantee.
And then you also have here Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah, that's another, a good one. That's another Charlie Bronson.
Yes, that's...
Yeah, he's kind of a master of the revenge.
That's when, what's his face?
Henry Fonda. Yeah, bad guy.
Bad guy.
Yeah.
Where it was like him going against type because he was always Mr. Roberts and Mr. like the hero. And suddenly this like blue-eyed, there was always that one shot where he like mows down the people. He's got his, you see his blue eyes, but now they look evil.
Yeah,
that's a good one. All right.
What are your favorites, Tom?
I like, all right, get out, Mike. Dudio?
Yeah.
Carrie, let's put Carrie at number five.
Sure.
Hamlet, I don't know. Where should Hamlet
be? I don't know.
I don't know. Let's leave Hamlet off right for the time being. Once Upon a Time in the West, put that at the 41.
You got your Old Boys, you got your Kill Bills.
Yes. So, yeah, look, Old Boy I've never watched. I know what it's about. It just seems horrifying, and I don't think I could sit and watch the whole thing. I know the story of it. It just seems like, I don't know if I need to take 2 hours to see it play out.
You don't have to explain it to me.
It's pretty rough.
I'm saying for the sake of your list.
Yes. Well, you're contributing to what? Falling Down. But see, Falling Down.
Doesn't start as a revenge, but it becomes a revenge.
What is Falling Down?
Falling Down is the Michael Douglas movie where he's just mad at. But Falling Down. The stakes, that's like the thing where he goes and that's like smashing the window of the coffee shop owner because you waited online. He's flipping out because he's flipping out the wrong people.
What is he flipping out about?
Society.
Yeah. Oh.
It's Michael Douglas walking around with the...
He's having a bad day
and he's taking it out on the wrong people.
Yeah, and there's a scene, the scene where he goes to the Army-Navy store and the guy's like, he's like the anti-Semitic guy who's like got all Nazi propaganda, and then he's like, you're just like me, and Michael Douglas is like, I'm nothing like you. Pat, not allowed, disallowed, sorry, but get your plug to me for this show. Now he's going to be mad at me because I'm putting on less. So you carry as much weight as I do on this.
Uh-huh.
Old Boy, The dude goes and he certainly gets even.
His family, yeah, it's, or him. I mean, his wife, rather. I mean, sure, fine.
So you say Kill Bill?
I mean, Kill Bill. I mean, like, just filmmaking aside and whatever. It's. I mean, you know what? I love that movie, and it was popular when I was watching movies as a kid. But I mean, again, warranted.
Yes.
Everything she does is that you sign off on 100%.
Everything's taken away from her.
Everything.
And then she climbs all the way back. What's your favorite moment in Kill Bill in terms of revenge?
It's probably... It might be when she does the palm move.
The five finger.
The five finger, yeah. But I also love that whole Lucy Liu fight scene. Just so great because she's beating her a very skilled opponent. Which is great.
Now what do you want? RoboCop. All right, RoboCop's a good one, right?
Yeah. All right. Everything
taken away. Yeah, and then he became a RoboCop.
Became a robot.
But did he have proper balance with it as a RoboCop?
I think so, because he was programmed to have proper balance.
But you're way too cheery now. I don't know if you. I don't know if it's that you got a tan when you're out there.
LA sunshine and vegan food.
Yeah, you look so.
Yeah.
You look. This is going to sound terrible.
Okay.
You look healthy, and it's making me mad. I know that there's no way for that to sound good.
I know, because that's like, how bad did I look?
No, not that you. No, you look great.
The LA effect, man.
You have all this color.
Yeah.
Your hair looks good. Yeah. You got a big smile on your face, and something about it is just not sitting. And I know that makes me not sound like a good person.
No, it's fine.
And I can say, look, you know I like you.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And if it's bugging me, what's it doing out there to that viper's pit? Right.
They seem happy to have me back.
Yeah, I'll get the real story later.
Oh, man.
So RoboCop. Put RoboCop at 15.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah. So I would say, for me, we got to put Kill Bill on the list, of course. That has to be high. Because that's that's like such an epic also.
It is. It's a lot. She goes through a slog. It's not very cut and dry.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just, there's so much time goes by.
Yeah, and so much time goes by. She's got a lot of people on her list.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I mean...
Yes.
She's got to kill a lot of people that aren't Bill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to get to Bill. Do you
Speaking
find...
which, Django,
mm-hmm.
another revenge film.
Yes.
I'm thinking Tarantino. I mean, he likes a little bit of revenge.
He likes a lot of revenge.
Yeah.
Now, Django Unchained, in the scheme of things, I like... all his movies are just like revenge movies now.
Nowadays.
Yeah. Except for Hateful Eight was just...
Did you see the movie? Did you like it? I avoided it.
I did like it.
Okay.
But it's a very bleak movie that a lot of people are like, that wasn't fun.
Right.
And I was like, yeah, it's certain. Nobody said it. Where was it misadvertised as fun? No, it's very bleak and it's a big fat bummer. But I think it will be more appreciated over time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll accept that answer.
Let's see what callers are going to say.
Please
do. Best show, hi.
Hello, is this Tom?
It is Tom. Hi.
Oh, hello. Hi.
You're here with me and with Stephanie Robinson.
Hey. Oh, hello, Stephanie.
Hello.
First of all, I have to confess, my internet connection's been poor, so I haven't...
That's all right. Well, what's your name? Let's start with that.
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. My name is Trevor.
Trevor, where are you calling from?
From Brooklyn, from Sunset Park, Brooklyn.
All right. Do you have anything for the topic?
Trevor? Well, I think I do, and that's what I was going to get at. I'm afraid that I haven't been able to listen live.
Trevor, you don't worry. I'll tell you.
Okay. So my understanding is that this is about revenge.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yeah. What are your favorite revenge stories?
Okay, so is this like a personal story or like something from literature? Or
Do you have a personal revenge story? I'd like to hear a personal one if you've got one.
I would love a personal revenge story.
Okay, I do have one. I have to say from the outset that I'm the villain in this. I know. I realize that you don't have
to. I like this one even better.
Yeah.
The bad guy in a revenge story is calling up. Let's hear this.
No.
What is it?
Oh, God. Now the expectations are so high.
Don't worry. No, they're not.
Okay. Unleash it.
Okay. Well, okay. When I was young, when I was in high school, I had a friend, like really my childhood best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing guy. But just very impressionable. I don't know. He was just too nice. You know?
Okay.
And he had a girlfriend, his very first girlfriend ever, who at that age I felt was mistreating him.
Okay.
You know, like,
all right.
It's high school. I know it's kind of weird.
She was not being nice to him in their relationship.
Yeah, that was my thought.
So what did you do, Trevor? I don't like where this is going.
You're not going to like what this is.
No.
I'm sorry. I wanted to call in for ages, never did, and now I'm going to tell you a story.
Go ahead.
Make you hate me.
Trevor, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to judge you on this.
No. Well, you should soon.
Okay.
So should you, Stephanie.
Well, I was going to.
Okay.
But
so what we did is, this is the 90s, my friend's girlfriend has a Saturn coupe. I can't remember the model year, but, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So my part of the mission early on was to go to the Saturn dealership in town and ask them the specific interior volume of this Saturn coupe. Now, at the same time, I had a friend who went with her to the gym and somehow managed to get a copy of her keys, car keys. At that point, we had what we called Operation Avogadro, which is like Avogadro's number 6.02 times 10 to the 23rd, which was an approximation of how many styrofoam packing peanuts.
Well, I'm going to say this first of all.
Yeah, please.
There's an intelligence going into this that scares me right off the top.
I know. I'm sorry. I know.
So you go and you get, what is this? No, go ahead.
Okay. So I'll walk it back one step. So she has a nice car, and you know how in high school cars are really important.
Yeah.
She has
this
car.
Yeah.
And now, at this point, we have the interior volume of the car, and we have a car key.
Uh-huh. So what do you do in the car? Let's pick it up here. This is not...
Okay. So I work at a place where, just short story, I can buy vast quantities of styrofoam packing peanuts.
Okay.
So then, late at night, my friends and I sneak into her driveway, open up the car, turn the car on, roll back the sunroof,
mm-hmm.
and fill the entire car with styrofoam packing, mm-hmm. To the brim.
Yeah.
So that's it. I'm sorry. You can abuse me now.
But this is what I'm going to say. This one.
Okay.
No. It's just, she doesn't know who got, this has nothing to do with evening a score at all. This is just.
This is a prank.
Yes. This is. This is a messy prank you did.
You're right. No, I think we realized that pretty soon,
mm-hmm.
because her suspicion did not fall on us. And, you know, I did. I felt bad almost immediately because it wasn't clear.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Well.
So, I don't know. I mean,
you were
kind
the
of,
bad. Look, yeah. You were the bad guy in it.
Like I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah. There are worse versions of what I thought you were going to do. That you did a thing.
Absolutely.
Oh no! What did you think I was going to do?
No, but I didn't think it was going to be the what you did is like what it's like hazing a rookie is what you did.
Right.
Where
they're
like, "Hey rookie, we filled your car with packing peanuts," and then the rookie just has to take it.
He just has to clean him out.
Yeah.
Oh, when you put it that way, I don't feel nearly as bad.
So she probably went and she was like, "Wait, what? What's up with my car?
Wait.
Oh, come on.
Ah.
Like, that was it.
Got a couple trash bags and scooped them out.
And then vacuuming at the car wash.
Yeah, yeah.
She probably had the
My guess is, and I don't know, but I think that when she opened the door up and it flowed out, you know, that was probably the only point that it was funny.
Sure.
I agree.
You know?
All right.
But anyway, Tom, I just want to thank you for letting me on the air.
Of course. You have a great night. All right, goodbye. Best show, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm Jamie from Memphis.
Jamie from Memphis. Well, Jamie, it's me, Tom, and you're here with me and Stephanie.
Hi, Jamie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Do you watch Atlanta, Jamie?
You know, I've started watching it on your recommendation, and it is so excellent.
Oh, thank you. It's really nice of you.
Oh, yeah, it's marvelous.
Who's your favorite character?
Ooh, I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he is the dude that is, like, so super spacey. You know, like he's got his foot in another dimension.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely. He's a good one.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, really the whole cast is great. Wonderful ensemble.
Yes. So what do you have for the topic tonight?
Well, Jamie? I was thinking
revenge.
And I hope I'm not being repetitive because I've been able to listen to the show tonight. But the Bugs Bunny cartoon called Long-Haired Hare.
Long hair, which one is that now?
That's the one where this really huge opera singer with blonde hair breaks Bugs' banjo, and so Bugs pretends to be a conductor and, like, really screws with the guy.
Yeah, okay, that makes the list. Look, I'm going to say this. I could fill this list with 50 Bugs Bunny things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bugs Bunny's my all-time. So if there's anything in comedy that is an influence on me, it's Bugs Bunny.
Really?
Because if anybody ever wanted to be left alone, it was Bugs Bunny.
I don't think he wanted to be left alone. I think he wanted the spotlight. I think he liked it. I think
most
he was asking
for it. Most of these start off, he's just in his rabbit hole, and then suddenly somebody starts drilling outside thing.
They start bugging with Bugs.
Yeah.
But his eyes light up, and you can tell he loves it. Like, he's been waiting for it. You know what I'm saying?
Look, he might be ready for it.
I think he lives for being bothered, so he can.
Well, that is interesting. So you're saying that maybe he's putting himself into situations where he could become bothered.
I think so. I think that we don't know enough of the pretext when we jump into these episodes.
Sure.
We see him minding his own business, but I think that he puts himself maybe in situations where he can be wily and, you know.
Like a baseball field.
The baseball episode. Yes, he shouldn't live in center field if he doesn't want to be bothered by baseball players. That's
outfield, if anything.
Fair. Bugs Bunny, he's in the wrong in that one. Where, although, the thing when you think, like, has there ever been a greater mind for dismantling psychologically? He's dressed as a woman. Some of these dresses are late, and he's messing with their, like, They're losing their marbles. He's hurting them physically, mentally they're
he's
losing their
scrambling their brains.
Yes. Suddenly, Elmer Fudd is just attracted to.
No, he has no questions asked. He's like, this is the reality I live in now. I'm attracted
to a rabbit.
Bunny.
First of all, like, weird. He's a human. No rabbit should be attractive to Elmer Fudd.
Any human being, some may say.
So then it's like the person he weirdly lowers his guard, he's attracted, then he gets brutalized again. Because he'll go up against, like when he goes up against Daffy Duck, and he does the duck season, rabbit season thing, and he says it twice, and then suddenly you have Daffy Duck putting a gun to his forehead and demanding that you fire the gun. I'm telling you, it's duck season. And pressing the gun against his own head. Like, there's no one has ever been at a higher level than to do that.
But do you feel like Bugs Bunny is one of those people that you're talking about, one of those animals / people that you're talking about that, the ends don't justify, or he's he's overreacting. I mean, I guess people are out to kill him. You know,
they are out to get him, especially if it's
they're
Elmer
out to end
Fudd,
his life.
He's hunting him. Elmer Fudd is hunting Bugs Bunny.
This is most dangerous game.
So he's getting back at the life. So the hunter becomes the hunted.
Sure, that I guess I can get on board with that because it's his life. But at the same time, I still stick by. Like, you're a rabbit, man. You know what's out there.
The baseball one, sure. 100% on Bugs, that one. But then again, that baseball player was pretty mean when he had his stogie in Bugs' face.
I'm sure you've been mean to a bunch of rats. You know, it's the same kind of thing. You see him scurrying around, you scream at him, you like, look at that ugly rat.
If they want to go for it, I say to the rats, you want to get back at me for yelling at you? Figure it out. I'm here. I'll take my lumps. If these rats want to team up and make me play them in baseball, then I guess I would have to face the music on that.
All right. Yeah, all right.
So you say that the opera won because his banjo gets smashed.
Yeah, he breaks it over his head. He hits him with it.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's pretty brutal.
And there's also a high-low kind of thing going on there where it's like you with your banjo.
It's a status thing. It's more of a class. It's a comment on classism, I think. There's a broader conversation going on.
So then for Bugs Bunny to become a conductor.
I mean, he had to overcome a lot to get to. Let's think of the steps that it had to take him to attain a position like that. A bunny.
Yes. He needed a tuxedo jacket.
And a wig.
He had to get his hands on a wig and a jacket. That's not easy.
It's not easy for a rabbit to do.
A conductor's stick.
Yeah.
And then he drove that opera singer crazy. By.
So he had to establish a relationship with an opera singer. You know what I mean? There's a lot of casualties, some may say.
I'm going to say, Mike, well, not you, Dudio, put Bugs Bunny, where should Bugs Bunny, just Bugs Bunny in general. The body of work is too great.
He's a great revenge seeker.
Let's say 10.
Put him at 10.
Ooh, okay. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Great call, buddy.
Night.
Night.
Bye.
Now, one I know I've seen that you have not seen is John Wick.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I should have seen John Wick, and it's not because I didn't want to see John Wick, but it was because when I had the opportunity to finally sit down and watch John Wick, I watched it the day that my dog died. My plan was to watch something that would not remind me of a dog and was just going to be completely, you know, like, oh, you know, this is an action movie. Let me just throw this on. I hear amazing things about it. Let me put it on. And the first 10 minutes, I was a mess. The whole movie is about a dead dog.
Yeah.
I could not have picked a worse movie. I watched nothing else after that night and just cried myself to sleep.
Yeah. Well, Matt, I'm on behalf of John Wick. I apologize. He's from New Jersey. Okay. I feel like I...
He's a Jersey. John Wick is from Jersey.
He is.
Wow. What part?
He goes in... I'd probably say it's somewhere in Essex County.
Okay.
Because he drives into New York to take care of his business.
Okay.
Because John Wick, his wife is sick. He's an ex-hitman. His wife is...
He gives
it all up. So that he can be with his wife.
I'm still with you here. I saw this part.
This part you saw.
Uh-huh.
And then soon, what was your dog's name, by the way?
My dog's name is Winston.
Winston. What kind of dog was Winston?
It's an English bulldog.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So then his wife arranges for when she dies to send a puppy to John Wick. Look, it's not easy. This is not easy. Puppy shows up. John Wick goes to a gas station. Some hoods are at the gas station, and they're just like, how much for the car? And he's like, car's not for sale.
And great, then, Keanu.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And then they figure out where he lives. The hoods go. Beat John Wick.
Right.
Beat the dog to death.
To death. They kill this dog.
Kill the dog and then steal the car.
Yeah.
And then John Wick promptly from that point, goes into his basement, picks up a sledgehammer, smashes the floors of the basement floor where he has all of these weapons hidden down there,
right.
And then wipes out everyone who came in that was between him and that dog.
Oof.
Do you want to know the end of John Wick?
No.
Well, first of all.
You know what? You know, I'll watch it.
I'm going to say.
Go ahead and say. No, please speak.
You can guess the end of John Wick.
He's successful. He gets a new dog.
Everyone's dead.
I mean, everyone's dead. Does he get a new animal?
He does.
Yeah,
he goes.
See?
The final scene.
Uh-huh.
And look, I'm not ruining anything for
you. No, listen. I just guessed it literally in 2 seconds.
He goes into the pound
uh-huh.
where he's been stabbed, and he crawls into like an animal shelter.
Of course.
Injects himself just to like clean his own wounds up. And then he sees a dog where it just says like to be killed. And then he pops a cage. He's like, come on. And then him and the dog, who's a pit bull.
Okay.
They both leave together.
Some might say the pit bull's him.
Some might say. Yes. Some might say. So I'm putting John Wick. Can you put John Wick at 4?
4?
Very high. It's
okay.
A very important movie to me.
I'll watch it. I'll get over myself.
Because it's the purest revenge movie.
It is.
There's
it is.
No
it's
love interest in it.
Yeah.
When his wife dies, that's it for love in the thing. The only love is the dog.
Hey, you killed my dog.
Yes.
And so there's I gotta kill you.
And there's a point where somebody is just like, this is about a dog. He's killing us.
He's killing
or
us
a dog.
This dog.
Yeah.
This beagle.
And as far as John Wick would be concerned, he's like, yes, I am. You shouldn't have.
Listen, this none of, he stops and he thinks about it and he's like, you're right. If none of you had killed my animal.
You started this.
My dog. Yeah. This would not be happening right
yes.
now.
He's That's just fair. Like, I did not start this game. Let's see here. Hey, who's good here, Mike? Best show, hi.
Hello, Tom.
Oh, my goodness. This is, now, Stephanie, you're the show Atlanta takes
uh-huh.
place in the city of Atlanta.
Sure.
Now, this guy, before I do some preamble, this is who I think it is, right?
I think it's who you
this
think
guy
it is.
This guy's from Huntsville, Alabama.
Oh, I love it. Hello.
This guy, his name is Jason.
Jason.
He is, first of all, all right, your master's in the can. Calm down. So, now there's a dog here and I'm, so the dog was looking at me, the dog's like, all right. Wait a minute. These dogs have no sense of time. It drives me nuts. So, and this all ties together. In the episode of Atlanta that you wrote with Bibby,
uh-huh.
one of the key points is Zaxby's.
Absolutely.
In it. Now, this guy, Jason, from Huntsville, he loves Zaxby's.
Oh. I'm a Zaxby's aficionado.
He's a Zaxby's aficionado. He loves it. He goes there. He gets the salad.
Oh, my favorite salad is the blue salad, Jason.
I like the blue salad. I also like the Cobb salad, but I do like the blue salad.
Mm-hmm.
But Stephanie, I had to call. I have something for the topic, but when I found out you wrote that episode, they had Zaxby's in it. I just wanted to thank you for representing.
Oh my God! Of course.
For representing Zaxby's.
Because I would eat Zaxby's out of someone's garage.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that would, and you know
yeah,
what?
Absolutely.
It's a bummer that it's not all over the country. That's something I did not know.
I know.
Growing up,
I'm kind of glad in a way.
No,
it's our
special secret. Fast food fried chicken and or chicken wings.
Right, and it's right down the middle of the road, like as far as the decor goes.
Oh yeah.
And, like, what it is, like, you could not get more between, like, an actual restaurant and a fast food restaurant.
Exactly. It is,
yeah.
It is riding that border hard.
So, with
yeah.
Zaxby's, for the Yankees up here, right, what is the closest thing? Cheesecake Factory?
No.
No.
I would say the closest thing.
Friendly's?
No, no.
Gas station?
Tom, you know like a Cracker Barrel, right?
Oh, of course. Yes, I know Cracker
Barrel. It's like
a
really toned down.
It's a Cracker Barrel. It's a Cracker Barrel meets Taco Bell.
So it's like, wow. So
it's drive through.
So it's like, wait, Zaxby's is just drive through?
No, it's not just drive through. It's like, but I, you know, you can go and get stuff, but I mean, when it's later at night, you just hop in the car, do a drive through, and get some chicken.
Or if you're alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's nothing sadder than
sitting at a Zaxby's with all those flags in the restaurant. You know what I'm talking about?
So,
the decor. It's Cracker Barrel-y.
Can you buy...
But it's like a lazy Cracker Barrel. Like if the guy that laid out the Cracker Barrel, like, bought everything at the same place on the same day.
Well, let me ask you this. Can I buy a rocking chair at a Zaxby's?
No.
No.
Well, I can get one at a Cracker Barrel.
You can't even steal a rocking chair at a Zaxby's.
There are no rocking chairs.
No rocking
chairs. Does Zaxby's have golf tee games that I can play at the table
where I try to jump the triangle?
Yes.
No, you got to bring your own game.
I got to bring my own game.
There are no games. Okay. Here's the thing. It's almost like if there was a KFC that vacated a premises and you were like, you know, for like 6 months it was nothing.
Uh-huh.
And then like maybe for a month it was a bank.
Okay, and then,
like, it was nothing again for another 6 months, and then there was Zaxby's comes into town, and then it's there for, like,
so it was
six years.
It was a bank, and they were just like, at some point, we're either going to have to turn this place into a restaurant or get rid of these fryers that were here.
I will tell you this. The buildings do have sort of a serial numbers filed off kind of feel to them.
Can you get a Reba McEntire CD at a Zaxby's?
Okay, no. You know, Jason, the more I think about this, it's less Cracker Barrel and more...
Cracker Barrel. The only thing that's Cracker Barrel-like is they've got junk all over the wall.
Sure.
Yeah.
But no dolls that no kid would ever
find comfort in. You know what? It's more like a fast food TGI Fridays. How about that, Jason? Is that fair? You know, junk all over the walls, but not as fun.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not as fun, though.
Is it generic junk on the walls, or is it local? Like, will they have a picture of the local team?
It's so local. They'll slap like a local football team up there or something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they'll have that to kind of keep.
But like mine, at mine they got like skis up there.
They get skis. I just distinctly remember like flags. Like, you know, what are those triangle flags called? The ones that are.
Hey. Stephanie, does your Zaxby's, the one you go to, do they have the Charlie Chaplin pointing at the restrooms?
I don't know. See,
Charlie Chaplin making a disgusted face, and it says restrooms, and he's pointing at the restrooms, and it's disturbing. I think he's holding toilet paper. It's very disturbing. It's my least favorite thing in the Zaxby's.
Speaking of which, I went to Mike... What is that? What's that sandwich chain called? Not the. Help me here, Mike. There's one in Jersey City, right on the water where WFMU used to go. Subway. Not Subway.
Is it Schlotsky's?
Not Schlotsky's. It's the what? Not Jimmy John's.
Quiznos.
Not Quiznos. It's
Jersey Mike's.
Not Jersey Mike's. Come on. It's like the pot. What's the pot? Not Firehouse Subs. What, Pat? Potbelly. Thank you, Pat. Shut up, Mike. Pat got it right. Potbelly sandwiches. I go into if there's one right there, go look at it. I'll drive you there after the show. It's closed, but we can both
pull
look
it up
in the
on
window.
Google Maps. Come on.
Yes, thank you, Jason. I go into the men's room at this place to wash my hands, right? And what's on the... Oh, they have one picture in the bathroom there. A picture of Nathan Lane in the men's room. Where it's just like, what is it? Like, was he here? It's like, and it's not signed.
He just used the men's room.
Like, is the owner just a fan of Nathan Lane? And they put, like, a framed picture of him in the bathroom. It's just such an odd... It's not old-timey. He's still alive and working.
Right.
Probably currently on Broadway.
Definitely.
And Yes, a very strange choice.
That sounds like a revenge story.
Yeah, Nathan Lane is.
Yeah, I'll hang you in the John.
How do you? I swear to God, Nathan Lane.
I'll show you, Lane. Take this headshot.
He
wouldn't sign my headshot.
He
was outside a Broadway theater. Nathan, please sign my sign this headshot. I don't have time. Sorry, buddy. Oh yeah, buddy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're okay. My buddy now, huh? I guess we're buddies. Well, let's see how where this headshot goes. Right in the can, buddy. of the pot belly that I own.
That's where he's king.
Now, Jason.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing okay.
How's your dog Peppy?
He's all right. He's getting old. You know.
Peppy's getting up there.
What kind of dog is Peppy?
He is a half poodle, half Shih Tzu. He's a mutt.
Oh.
He's delightful, but he is getting old and kind of having some of those old age things.
He's getting up there. But, well, good. Look, all the best to you and Peppy.
He's a good fella. I did have just a couple revenge stories very quickly.
Please.
So I realized I didn't have any personal ones because I realized that anything I thought was a revenge story either was just a bad thing happening to me and I took it, or it was something I did to somebody that they didn't deserve.
Right.
So it's very tricky. It's almost like a Zaxby's. It's right down.
You got to play that border. You got a Zaxby's situation.
Yeah. So I have no revenge stories, but two movies that came to mind. One was this will bring in the kids, the Todd Browning classic Freaks. I don't know if you remember that movie.
I've never watched it. I can't bring myself to watch it.
It's Freaks. You know, yes. It is what it is. And apparently Todd Browning, the director, he grew up around circus people, so he was sort of, probably more respectful of treatment than you would imagine.
Okay. All right.
By watching it. But anyway, it's really creepy. The revenge aspects are very creepy. But I don't expect it to go on the list because neither of you probably ever seen it. Because
they all go after.
You know what? I have seen Freaks in film school.
Okay, well, do you remember the ending?
I don't remember the ending.
One of us.
Yeah, they do that. Yeah, okay.
That's the middle.
It's in the middle.
That is in the middle. It's not the ending of that movie.
What? That's when everything's still good. The one of us.
Is it? Is it? Do they just go, who's the freak now? Right?
Kinda.
Yeah.
Get away from me. Get away, you freaks. Hey. You're freaks.
Hey.
You're all Todd Browning's freaks.
They do say that.
Get away
in
from
the,
me, Todd Browning's
in the
freaks.
Movie.
And then the freaks. Then they turn the camera on the people in the theater and go, who's the freak now?
Right.
They turn a mirror to the camera.
You said you didn't see it.
What is that? That would be the greatest ending.
You're
the freaks. Oh, my God. We're the freaks.
Who's the
they roll up the screen, and it's an actual mirror.
Freak. So, all right. Well,
no one would ever go to the movies again.
So that's number one. What was your number two?
So the second one is the original Mad Max.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, which is like a Death Wish type premise.
Death Wish Down Under.
Where his family gets wiped out.
But the thing he does to the guy at the end where he, like, spoiler, you know, the car is, like, gas leaking out
you
of it.
You can't,
boy,
look,
him.
People had their chance to see the original Mad Max at this point. They came, hey, you ruined
hey,
it.
What the heck?
It came out in 1978.
Well, if you haven't, pause this. If you're listening to this, go watch it.
Okay.
Come back. But, yeah, he handcuffs the guy to the gas is running out, and he gives him a hacksaw.
Mm-hmm.
He leaves him there, like he can cut through his arm or he can blow up.
Yeah, you like
that's
that.
That's his choice.
You? Right? Right? That's how you like it down there.
What's more of a chance than they gave his family?
Yeah.
That's the way we, that's Huntsville right. Justice.
Now imagine this, fair. Jason.
Yeah.
Nick Saban, Coach Nick Saban, your hero.
Oh, boy. Right?
He's handcuffed. To a car, right?
Yeah.
But now you're faced. I'm trying to think. I can't think of the mechanics of this.
I would just probably just cut
would
my arm
you
off
cut your
sympathy.
Own arm? What I want to ask you is, would you chop your own arm off to save Nick Saban.
I would just do it out of sympathy, even if it wouldn't save him.
Yeah, you just give it a shot. Yeah.
Yeah, I just do it anyway.
Yeah. Now, what's the feel down there since you guys won the big college football thing? Is everybody still in a delirious hangover?
It feels like the natural.
See, that's when it's unhealthy. Yeah, now you know, most people aren't used to winning ever. Now you have this like default setting where winning is like,
yeah,
finally we're back to normal here.
It's
kind
of bad because all you can do,
mm-hmm,
is, I mean, that's really all you can do. It's good if you win, it's just maintaining.
Yeah.
Like if you win the top honor in your sport, in your, you know, your level of sport, yeah, you're just, yeah, okay, well, good. Yeah, we eked it out.
Yeah, that's the baseline now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you have to start doing is that team of yours has to like go, what, like challenge NFL teams,
yeah,
to games now?
To get to
a new level of,
yeah.
I'm hoping for
a Space Jam situation.
Yeah. Oh, so you're hoping there's like some outer space football team shows up and that no pros will play them, but your college, Earth will be done then. Well, Jason.
There'll be space college students.
Yeah. All right. My friend, thank you so much.
So nice.
It's good talking
with
y'all. And Atlanta is fantastic.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good night.
Night.
He's a nice guy.
Very nice.
Ladies, people are saying on Twitter, Lady Snowblood. That's a great movie.
Lady Snowblood's
a great movie. That's a Japanese revenge movie that Kill Bill took huge
pieces from.
Like, it is Kill Bill. It's great, though. It's a really great movie. Dudio,
yeah.
Lady Snowblood, 12, please. It's a great. Let's see what people are saying. Mrs. Doubtfire, is that a revenge movie?
Mrs. Doubtfire is absolutely a revenge movie.
Because?
But here's the thing. He almost kills Pierce Brosnan. He's allergic to the chilies. Mm-hmm. He puts chilies all over his meal. Like that, you know what I mean? I don't think that was appropriate. He almost killed this nice man.
Who did nothing wrong but love
his ex-wife.
Who loved
and the
him.
Kids. Yeah. He put chili peppers.
Mm-hmm.
That was a step too far.
Someone looked up the body counts on Death Wish. I'll tell you that in a second. So, but Mrs. Doubtfire, what do you say? Revenge movie?
It absolutely.
Little misguided.
No, here's the thing. It is 1,000% a revenge movie. The entire reason he's dressing up as an old woman is to. Yeah, it's revenge.
Yeah.
They're gonna learn to love me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
even if it's not me. And I'm going to put chili flakes in Pierce Brosnan's spaghetti.
So you could remake that just as a straight horror movie.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? That's a brilliant idea. I don't know why someone hasn't done that already.
Just call it Doubtfire. Right?
Absolutely.
Like he's like smearing lipstick on his face. Like, oh, we got to go.
Liquid latex all over his forehead. Yeah. Ugh. God.
Just picture him go, oh, hello there, dear. And it's like creepy though. Like
his son walks in on him peeing, but he like isn't afraid about it. Just stares, locks eyes.
Yeah, everybody's just generally ruined by this dad's
cold horror of this weird man.
The distant dad who the only way he could be to try to reinstate some normalcy is to just trick the entire family and ruin everyone. Yeah, that could be a good harm. So where would you put Mrs. Doubtfire? Where would we put that?
I don't even know if I'd put it on there.
Let's put it low on there.
It would be very low on there.
48.
Yeah.
48, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Someone had another good one here. Mrs. Doubtfire. Well, here are the death totals in Death Wish.
Okay.
Mike, how many people do you think in Death Wish 1?
Death Wish 1? 3.
11. 11. Higher than I thought. Death Wish 2, what do you think it is?
20.
15. Death Wish 3, it's 83.
Okay.
It's still
a lot of people. That's a pretty big jump.
Huge jump. So, but that makes this character, just a mass murderer now.
At that point, he's a bandit.
Yeah, he was responsible for triple digits of
murders.
Yes.
Absolutely.
In the name of, let's see.
Wait, he's not still mad about the same thing in each movie.
Someone always dies in his life, and then he goes too far in.
And the cops are doing what? After the first few movies, his cops have let this man walk free.
There's a cop who helps him in Death Wish 3 running, like he convinces, like when the gang starts coming, Bronson and his cop kind of team up and start mowing people down. Okay. Let's see here. Punch Drunk Love.
Mm. All right.
I'd say that's a revenge movie.
I'd say it was. I'm not a fan of that movie.
I love that movie.
You love that movie? Oh, yeah. It's one of my most people favorite movies. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
When he goes all, they smash his car. He's finally in love. He finally is finding something. They smash his car. Why? They stole his credit card number. All he did was be like, hey, you stole my credit card number.
He's a weirdo.
They go look out. They go beat him up. They smash his car. Suddenly he's got love on his side. He takes a tire jack, beats the tar out of all of them, gets on a plane and goes to Salt Lake City. And faces down Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love, 20.
20? 20. All right.
Going high with it, yes.
Okay. I'm trying to think of any.
I bet you all the Adam Sandler movies are some version of a revenge. Like, I'm sure The Waterboy is a revenge movie, right?
In some way.
But a sports movie should not be a revenge movie because to even the score on the field is.
It's just kind of like this is what you're supposed to do.
In sports, yes.
Gladiator.
Oh, that's what, my friend Marcia just texted me and said Gladiator. Gladiator, definitely.
Great revenge movie.
Yes.
But it's a mixture of what you're saying. It's not only a sports, it has a sports angle to it, but, he doesn't want to be in the sport.
Yes.
It's a slave sport.
Yes, they also, it's like people in sports, generally, they're not just like, we killed people.
We didn't want to do this.
Yes. Just so you know. If you're going to play for the Yankees, we killed your family. Now you're going, like, watch me hit the home run now. So, where should Gladiator be?
I think Gladiator might be high up there, right?
It should be high up.
What's his name is such a jerk? Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say Russell Crowe. Could go either way. Jerk.
Very Australian.
Where should he go on the? Where should Gladiator go?
Oh, God.
Seven?
Eight.
Eight. Eight.
Eight.
Studio. Eight. Chappie? I didn't see Chappie.
I didn't see Chappie either.
I'm not putting that on. That movie bothered me. I'm not putting Chappie on.
I'm trying to think. What about?
Let's see.
Sheesh.
Mike, I'm not putting any of these. These Peckinpah movies are creepy. I don't want them on the list. They creep me. Straw Dogs is a weird justifying. Another one of those ones where he's a liberal. And
he's like, I'm just a normal guy. Yeah. And he's
like, no, you're an animal. And then you've got
crazy, I can't get behind like revenge like Cape Fear. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of revenge that, I mean, you're not rooting for the guy.
No, and any movie where they're just where everyone ends up, it's hard. There should be some element of where you realize revenge is not the purest version of handling these things. And there is a line in Count of Monte Cristo. The final lines are about striking the balance in life. If only
that's
I was
all,
smart
exactly.
enough to quote
this,
it.
Right.
It does read the thing. It's in there. Trust me. Go look for a copy. But, right?
I think so. It's all about justice. That's what I'm saying. This is it, and I will lead into the Count of Monte Cristo that it is all about striking a balance. If you're just going nuts for the sake of going nuts, don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Memento, that's up there. As I'm thinking.
What about Animal House?
I never saw Animal House.
They get their school taken.
They get their school taken. They got to
They get their fraternity revoked. So then they decide, we are going to ruin this entire town.
Right.
And they dismantle every part of everyone who ever did them wrong in it.
We'll give it to them.
Let's put Animal House at 22, please. I'm being told that there's a celebrity on line 5.
Okay.
Mike, is that true? Being told. I'm being told the host of HQ is calling in.
Yes.
Scott Rogowski. Scott Rogowski. Yes. How are you, Scott?
Hi.
Oh, I couldn't be better. Hi. Hi, everybody.
Scott, you're here with me, Tom. You know me, right?
Yes.
And you're here with my friend Stephanie Robinson, who's also anyone who likes entertainment's friend, also. Friend to the entertainable.
A friend to one and a friend to all.
Yes.
Great.
Hi.
Great to talk to you guys.
Hold on a second. Now, this guy, Scott Rogowski, he's the host of HQ, which is the hit app, game show app, interactive game show app, interactive, right? That takes place two times a day.
It's live. I could have done it live from the Baltimore-Washington International Airport tonight, which is where I'm stranded right now.
You're stranded.
Couldn't make the show, actually. Couldn't do the show tonight because of the storm that I hope is passed by now.
You literally missed hosting
it. Literally missed the show.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Was flying back from L.A. today, trying to get back in time, and we had to be rerouted to Baltimore because we ran out of gas. No show tonight for me, but you guys are going strong, sounds like.
Yes.
We're in this.
Fun show tonight.
Yeah.
So Scott, we're talking about revenge. Before I want to talk about a special thing you're doing. I know you're very modest and you don't like to promote yourself, but I'm just going to say this. This guy, he just doesn't do HQ. He hosts a talk show. That's how I got to know Scott. He hosts a talk show called Running Late. Right? Is that, that's the name?
That's
Running
right.
Late.
That's the name, Running Late. I'm running late tonight and next week.
But now you're doing a live. It's a live show. It's a live show.
It's always been a live show. Doing it for almost 7 years. You've been a guest a couple times, Tom. And
yes.
And I've got a big show next Tuesday at the Gramercy Theater with some friends of Tom, some FOTs.
Who's going
on
to be
one big team? Show? We've got Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Ant-Man
himself will be on.
Ant-Man himself.
Yes.
We've got David Cross.
David Cross, half of Mr. Show is where people might know him getting a start, but a top comedy dude.
Dr. Funke.
Yes.
On Arrested Development.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Nico Case.
Nico Case.
One of your favorites.
Yes, one of my favorites. Great singer, great person.
She's performing as well. Yeah, so, big show next Tuesday at Gramercy. Tickets are somehow still available. I don't know how this thing hasn't sold out already.
There
are tickets available.
It could be, by this time with HQ, with this thing being this huge game show, it could be you, it should be, this thing should sell out if it's just going to be like, hey, watch Scott eat a filet of fish sandwich. Right? Scott's going to come in with a McDonald's bag. The guy from HQ is going to eat McDonald's in a theater. That's
Angry Whopper.
To sell out. Yeah, Angry Whopper. Guy rolls in. But no. This guy loads it with Paul Rudd.
That's loaded, man. That's like
David
fully loaded nachos right there. I mean, you can't get more loaded than that.
I'm going to say this. That's a better lineup than I'm sure most of the talk shows have that night. I'm sure that lineup, those three guests, you could put up against anybody else's three guests.
Oh, totally.
There's no drop-off. Sometimes, I will agree with you on that one. I know. One's better than the next. It's amazing. They're all great.
Sometimes these nights you do have huge drop-off where it goes from me. It goes from Dick Cavett to Sal from Impractical Jokers to me. Now, that's huge. That's big drops between the three things. And then Dick Cavett had no time for me backstage at that one show. I was like, hey, I'm a big fan of yours. He goes, yeah. And then, kept walking. Yeah, I almost pushed him. I was so tempted.
Pushed him, not punched.
Pushed
almost shoved
behind.
Him.
He walked past me. I almost gave him a little shove.
Okay.
So, but this bill, top to bottom, where is this now? Gramercy Theater next.
The Gramercy Theater, 23rd and Lex. If you can venture.
What is going on in the background
shrieking.
There?
I'm at this airport, Tom. We've been here for 3 hours now. There are kids running around. I have I have some celebrities on my flight, so we're all sort of bonding here. we've got a nice little crew. Zoe Kravitz and Alia Shawkat from Arrested Development and Andrea Savage and Tom Everett Scott. We're all
it sounds
all
like the True TV upfront.
It sounds like the upfronts are getting delayed, baby. Sounds like someone's going to be missing their Q&A tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, this is what I say. Look, you know what you should do, Scott? Why don't you say you got Zoe Kravitz, Leah Shawkat. Yeah. Who else?
Tom Everett Scott and Andrea Savage from I'm Sorry on True TV.
Scott, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Go say to them, guys, Mr. HQ's renting a minivan, and we're getting to New York. Why don't you do it?
I was saying, this could be the third season of Search Party right here.
Why don't you go throw some of that HQ money around? Go rent a car and for everybody to climb in and drive up to New York.
I'm telling you, we'd be there sooner than this flight.
Why don't you do it?
Do it. All right. I'm gonna rally the troops.
You're 3 hours away by car.
I know. This is unbelievable. Well, their bags are stuck on the flight. They've checked their bags. It's a whole deal with them. I'm good to go.
Well,
but they've got their bags checked.
Look, you tell me they can't. You can't go get luggage off of a thing. It'll show up in the morning for them. The luggage will show up in the morning. Everybody will spend the night in a hotel.
Uh-huh.
Scott.
We're going to be sleeping at the gate. It's your worst nightmare, Tom.
Scott.
Sleeping at the gate.
Scott, this is one of those moments.
Pretty much.
A hero has to rise.
This is one of those moments where you do it or you don't do it.
Yeah.
Do you want to look cool?
Should I pitch it to the group right now? Should I do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Look, any one of those people would be... Well, maybe not Tom Everett Scott, but any one of those people. Look, Alia Shawkat, she's super cool. Zoe Kravitz, super cool.
They're into that.
Andrea Savage, super cool. And then you.
Alia.
This is the guy from
HQ. Alia, want to rent the van? You want to rent the van? I'm on a radio show right now, and can you explain the situation? Yeah. So, like, rent a van and just drive to New York. You want
to
do it?
Who are you saying that? Yeah. Who are you saying that to? Yeah. Who are you saying that to? Alia Shawkat?
In Baltimore.
Who?
Is this a radio station in Baltimore?
Best show.
Best show. Hey, my name is Alia Shawkat.
Hi, how are you? I'm friends with Nick Thorburn. How are you?
Oh, great. Yes, I've heard about you.
Favorite
Nick.
People. Yeah.
I'm not doing so great. My bag's stuck on this flight.
Well, this is, Alia, what's going to happen now. Scott's going to go rent a minivan, and everyone's going to
pile. Yeah, but what about my bag, man?
They'll be at the hotel in the morning.
I'm supposed to go to an event tomorrow.
They'll be at the hotel in the morning. They'll be at the hotel in the morning.
They told me they won't send it to me unless I make a claim, and the baggage it's just...
This is what you do.
It's all a mess.
You go up
don't
to the
curse.
Counter. Go up to the counter and just scream at them and say, I have an event to be at. This guy's nice enough to drive us to New York so we can make our event. You guys get the luggage to my hotel by 8 a.m. Or else. Or if you tell them, you saw the end of Search Party Season 2, you might end up in a similar fate might befall you.
This is all research.
Yes.
Well, my friend who I traveled here with is ditching me.
Zoe just left.
Zoe left. Right. But I'm I got to stay with my bag. Whether I threaten them or not, I'm going to stick with the bag. Yeah. I got my friend Olivia.
Okay.
She's sticking
right.
by me.
Like, look, leave. I'm going to leave you alone. Thanks, Oli.
Well,
okay. Thank
you.
You have a
good
great
luck in your life.
Okay.
I'm back, Tom. I'm back.
Scott, that was exciting, right?
Yeah. Right? A little. You never know what you get when
you deal with Scott Rakowski.
At BWR.
Usually it's a Sklar brother.
Yeah.
Right?
Sklar cousin.
Like, which Sklar is going to get on the phone?
Yeah. That's usually the case.
Yeah.
But no, I mentioned that. But I wanted to participate in the topic. I'll let you guys go. I know it's ending,
what's a revenge? What's one of your favorite revenge things, Scott Rogowski?
Well, I'm going to argue. I know you saw this movie, Tom. I just saw it on the plane that I thought I was going to land in New York 5 hours ago. Phantom Thread, there's some interesting revenge going. It's a little subtle, but there's a key revenge plot. I don't want to spoil it, I guess. But would you agree that? And then it kind of twists. It becomes.
I would say 100% a revenge movie.
Yeah.
Look, that's one of my favorite. But I saw that movie a few times. I saw it in the theater. I saw it in 70mm twice.
Do you not agree it's a revenge movie?
No. I'm wrapping my head. I didn't think of it from that angle.
Okay.
Let me think.
probably would have been better seeing it 70 millimeter than the back of a headrest.
No, you're not supposed to watch. Suddenly, yeah, that's you're watching this thing that's the most impeccably filmed thing ever, and meanwhile your screen freezes every once in a while so they can tell you.
PA announcement.
Yeah, the pilot can just say there's some turbulence coming up. Yeah. This is how Paul Thomas Anderson intended it to be seen.
So, it was Phantom Thread or Dunkirk. Those are my options.
Look, I say you're right.
Uh-huh.
Put Phantom Thread. How high can it go on the list, Dudio?
It can go to number 2.
Six.
No. It's a next level. It's a low on the list, but it's a twist.
Then 13.
Of 13. 13 is perfect.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting.
I went to see that movie in L.A., I was working round the clock. I was so tired, but I was just like, I went to the ArcLight.
Uh-huh.
You know the ArcLight, dude, yeah, right? That's your local theater now.
Which
right?
ArcLight?
The one on
Hollywood?
Sunset. I went to the 11:30 show at night.
Uh-huh.
70 millimeter. I was the only one in the theater.
Stop.
It was one of the best experiences ever to have a private screening of that movie in 70 millimeter.
Yeah.
Was the greatest.
Yeah.
Everybody leaving you alone. Then you go in the lobby and you look at the tuxedo.
What'd you love about that movie?
I liked how funny it was and how funny he was.
He was a mess, right?
Yeah, but he's just like, I liked his physicality.
Yeah, yeah.
And I liked when he was when she's cutting scraping the toast, and he's like, it sounds like a horse is running through the room. Like just him, when he's like, are you trying to sabotage
yeah.
me?
Yeah.
Are you an enemy? Do you have a gun? Greatest. Mm-hmm. All right, Scott, look, you get home soon.
All right, I'll let you get
But you'll definitely be back in New York in time for your show next Tuesday at the Gramercy Theater, Running Late with Scott Rogowski. Special guest Paul Rudd, David Cross, and Nico Case.
Yeah. Come on out. Stephanie, right. It was a pleasure meeting you over the phone.
So nice to meet you.
Big fan of your work
big
as well.
Big fan of you.
Oh, come on.
Look, and
we're all fans.
And Scott, I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
Would it kill you? Just give me the code. Just say CBAC.
Yeah.
Let me win one.
I'll Morse code. I'll Morse
deal.
Code it with my
blank.
It's a big
deal.
I walk
away with $4.
Yeah, right.
Can't throw me $4.
We give a 50,000 last night. We had Blake Shelton and Kelly Clarkson on the show with me last night. Did you happen to catch that one?
I did not.
I did The Voice.
No.
I was out there. That's why I was out in L.A. for The Voice with Blake and Kelly. It was pretty wild. But, no, you're right. The money ends up.
You've had De Niro on now.
De Niro. Christy Yamaguchi.
Christy Yamaguchi was on. You had The
and,
Voice
The
on
Rock.
Now.
The Rock was the big one.
The Rock was on, right. What about AP Mike? What about that?
The Staten Island Hustlers.
Yeah. You get the Staten
Island.
You should get the Staten Island Hustle crew on there. It would be so great.
It's a $1 billion idea.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
You could ask the question. That should be like question one. B. Like, what did the guy turn a meat slicer into? Two plane tickets
B. to L.A.
All right, Scott. You know,
all right. Good night,
I'll
everybody.
You later, buddy.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
Mike. Revenge. The closing thoughts on revenge, Mike. Is it viable? Is it a low instinct?
I think we haven't mentioned that it's best served cold.
Okay.
It's best served cold. All right. What's that supposed to mean?
And hot, yeah. I would add to that.
Yeah. What's that? No, I've heard it before. Yeah, so I'm trying to think. What other revenge things have been left off? Let me check real quick here.
Yeah, do the rounds.
Let's see. Mike wants to know about Billy Jack. But see, that's that old. You're dragging the...
Like Memento?
Memento's a good revenge one. 32 for Memento.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
That feels right.
Let's see, what else? Oh, there's pictures. Somebody put pictures of these Zaxby's in Huntsville on Twitter.
Love that. Are there any good kid revenge movies? What's a good, like, you know what I mean?
The one where Frankie Muniz gets revenge on...
Yes, Big Fat Liar on Big Paul Fat. Giamatti.
Yes, his principal, right?
No, he Paul Giamatti steals his screenplay and produces
that's
it.
That's right, yes.
Doesn't give him the credit. So him, so Frankie Muniz and Amanda Bynes, they do things like dye his pool blue.
Blue, yeah, and he comes out.
Like a blue man.
Yes. What's it called again?
Big Fat Liar.
Big Fat Liar... 50. 30, 50. Thank you.
Definitely 50.
It can't be higher. That's got to be the lowest one. And you also know, first of all, if you're stealing a screenplay Frankie Muniz wrote, it's like, it's an indictment on show business. And if you steal his thing, you deserve anything you get.
Exactly.
I'm stealing his screenplay.
Paul Giamatti. Hey.
So let's say this. Mike. Well, Dudio, you gave me what now was RoboCop.
Yeah.
Pat did Falling Down, which was disallowed.
Willard?
Willard. I don't know. You always say the weird. Mike says Bad Ronald. I hear him yelling. I don't know. Somebody should remake Bad Ronald. What's it about again?
The kid who lives in the
final
walls in the house.
What?
You're out of here. We're done.
All
right. Django Unchained should be on it. Which? Rocky IV? That's true. He does avenge. He does go to avenge in the Rocky movie. That one, he's avenging Apollo Creed's death.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Rocky IV can make the list, even though it's the worst Rocky movie. I think 5 might be the worst one. Put Rocky IV at 48.
Which one of the Rockies has the robot? The Happy
Rocky
Birthday Polly robot.
That's Rocky IV.
That's 4?
Yeah. You put 49, Rocky IV. Yes, it has the Rocky, the robot that Polly gets. Is
Happy
in,
Birthday Polly.
Yes, that's
says
in
to him.
Rocky IV. And then...
And that's not the worst Rocky? The one with the Happy Birthday robot?
Rocky V is the worst one. Rocky Balboa is not so hot. I think the best Rocky movie now is either Rocky or Creed.
Creed,
are the best one.
Yeah.
Creed's not a revenge movie, though.
No.
Let's see. Here we go. Let's see. Checking final looks here. Let's see. Now, there's people talking about Crater Face from Greece. Gleaming the Cube. What's that? That's the skateboard movie.
Which one?
Gleaming the Cube.
I don't even know what that is.
Mike, Gleaming the Cube. I'm not asking. You don't know. And just so you know, also, just realize this. We'll take the final calls and we'll wrap it up. This Friday, my friend Pat Byrne, one of my favorite people. You know that, Pat, right? Pat? He has a live show at St. Mark's Theater this Friday. It's called Comic to Watch with Pat Byrne. Friday, May 18th, 9 p.m. at Under St. Mark's Theater. It's only $5. Special guest, the of Claire O'Kane, is also going to be on the bill. Very funny. My friend of the show and personally, Claire O'Kane, very funny. The brother gets murdered and Christian Slater avenges his death in Gleaming the Cube. I'm not putting it on, though. I don't know. That seems like a... Yeah. Gladiator is probably the... That's got to be one of the purest revenge movies.
What about The Fugitive?
I don't know.
There's revenge against that doctor who sicked the one-armed man on him.
That feels like a frame up. That's like a name clearer of a thing.
Right. Okay.
That's like you're like, I don't know. You're close. I think it's close though.
It's danced around it.
Yeah.
It's the Zaxby's of revenge movies.
Yes, it's half
right in that border.
So it's half. Taco Bell?
No, it's a fast food joint. Listen, mm-hmm. at the end of the day, you're going to sit in your car and you're gonna drive up to the window and you're going to order a salad.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to get in there, you will. And but it's literally the size of a Taco Bell.
Okay. Put the Van Morrison Contractual Obligation album at 41, please. We got that. Oh, yeah, Point Blank. That's a huge revenge movie. Lee Marvin. Right? He just wants his money back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
20.
20. That's a hard 20.
Point Blank. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to pull the plug on this. What's right. Day of the Animals? What?
Show's at 9 o'clock.
Okay, the show's at 9 o'clock. Yeah, no. It's Friday, May 18th. Just confirm all these things, Pat. It's called Comic. I'm serious. Comic to Watch. Pat Byrne Live.
That's me.
Uh huh.
Friday, May 18th.
That's the date.
9 p.m.
Sharp.
Under St. Mark's Theater.
Yes.
New York City.
New York.
$5.
That's right.
Special guest Claire O'Kane.
She'll be there.
Who could be doing her own show? This is like a 2-for-1. It is.
Well,
all right. And what's that?
Dollar slices.
Dollar slices. Wow, you're... All right. Oh, I got to hear him talking about parasites from eating pizza.
What do you think? You feeling...
I think we did what we had to do here. Right?
Yeah. I think we covered all sorts of types of revenge too.
Did you have fun?
I had so much fun. Can I come back someday?
Of course, Stephanie Robinson, you can
this
come back.
Great.
And people can find you where now?
They can find me where? Meaning what?
On
God,
social,
on
Twitter
social media,
or something.
On the Twitter, or like
yeah. Yes,
it's
on the
Stephanie Robinson, but it's Stephani.
Like Stefani, like
Gwen
Stefani.
Stefani.
Yes,
my social. Mom thought she was being clever, and.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now no one can find
well,
me.
Well, she might have been ahead of the curve with social media. She knew
she
to
was,
give you
and I
a
got
name.
My own, I carved out my own space
mm-hmm.
because of that.
Now we're going to take some final calls and then wrap okay. it up. Best show, hi.
Hey, Tom.
Hi, who's
hey,
this?
How are you?
Who's this now? Dan? Oh, yep. I know this. Okay.
You know this, Dan.
Yeah. What's up, Dan?
I have a very, it's, I'm not proud. I have a very quick revenge story. It's probably the pettiest one.
All right.
If you have time.
Yes, please.
So when I was in high school, first, second day, probably like, I don't know, ninth grade, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Guy in my class said something disrespectful. I can't remember what he said. But he had the locker next to mine.
Yeah.
And what I did is I stood back while he opened his locker. I memorized his locker combination.
Okay. It's got that sneaky quality, which is good for a revenge story.
So, and then proceeded to every opportunity I had for the rest of the year, unlock his locker, turn the locker around the other way, close the locker. Never touched his stuff, never did anything other than just turn his locker the wrong way.
It's like a creepy crawl.
Basically, a psychological operation.
Manson family creepy crawl. Go and slide the furniture 6 inches. That's what you were doing. You were a high school creepy call. Put this on the list. Put Dan on the list. I'm putting you on the list. This is creepy enough.
High school creepy crawl?
18.
18?
Yes. All he's right. that high.
I like that.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you, Tom.
All right. Best show, hi.
Hello, this is Ben in Portland, Oregon.
Ben in Portland, Oregon. What's up, Ben?
Hey, I had something for the topic.
Okay, you're here with me and Stephanie Robinson.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Tiffany.
Hey.
Stephanie.
Stephanie, sorry.
That's all right.
Big fan of Atlanta.
Oh, thank you.
What's your favorite character on the show?
Probably Darius, also. Right. He's a great one.
It's like a Rorschach test.
I know, seriously.
So, go ahead. Now, what do you have, my friend?
It's kind of a stretch, but I was thinking Punch Drunk Love kind of feels like a revenge movie
it's
to me.
It's on the list. It made the list already.
Oh, it is?
It is.
Yeah, it's on there.
Oh, wow. What about The Long Goodbye? the Robert Altman movie about the Raymond Chandler book.
See, that to me is more of a detective thing with like it's not like full revenge. That's him piecing it together at the last second.
But that revenge at the end is pretty good.
But it's also not
what you mean.
But it's not about revenge. Right. It's about solving a mystery.
Yeah, that's true.
With some revenge tacked on at the end.
Yeah. The City of God, that was the last one I had. The Brazilian movie.
Mm-hmm. I never saw that.
You never saw City of God? That's a good one.
I did not.
That's got a lot of revenge. Oh, well.
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
All right.
But yeah, Punch Drunk Love, I'm glad it's on it.
Yes.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye. All right, final two calls. Best show, hi.
Hey, this is Rob from Rochester. How y'all doing?
Ralph? Ralph?
Rob.
Rob.
Yes.
Hi, Rob. You're here with me, Tom, and Stephanie Robinson.
Hi.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Stephanie. I got one for the topic.
For revenge. What do you got?
How about the Princess Bride?
Yeah, that's like...
Yeah.
He comes all the way back.
He does.
Princess Bride.
I mean, that's even the,
go ahead.
I was just going to say that's even the name of the ship that the Dread Pirate Roberts has, The Revenge.
It's The Revenge, yeah.
Yes.
There are elements in there. I'll give it to you. Yeah.
All right. 36.
Oh. Yeah.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
And don't let any calls through, Mike. We're done. Thank you, buddy. Final call. Best show, hi.
Oh, as I live and breathe. Tom, hello.
I don't like when people say my thing back at me. Who's this?
I apologize.
That's all right. No, I need to apologize. Who's this?
Jesse from Vancouver.
Hold on. Jeffy?
Yeah.
All right, Jeffy. What do you got?
Jesse. are you on the list yet?
Am I on the list? Like, for what revenge would I get? Or...
The revenge you doled out to Avalanche Bob.
Hey, Mike. Put on the list, there was a call from Jeffy, right?
Yeah.
Like if I was getting revenge on this, what would the revenge be, Jeffy? What would be the proper revenge?
I apologize. There's a loud cat here. The revenge on Avalanche Bob, when you bad companied him, I kind of enjoyed that.
You like when I bad company, though. Okay. Because that's like, because what we do is we play the song Bad Company when like a call, when a call is like particularly bad, we play the song Bad Company.
I love it.
And it just like, so you liked when I played the Bad Company thing for Avalanche Bob last week.
I think I know where this is going.
Where's it going?
I think there's some background music.
Listen, do you hear it? I don't hear anything. You can't hear it. Am I doing it? Am I not doing it? Jeffy, this is revenge on your weird call. Is this how you make me end my show? Is this how you make me end my show, Jeffy?
Yeah. You kind of deserve it, Tom.
What's that?
I'm just messing with you.
No, no. Jeffy.
Yeah.
Any final thoughts?
Thanks for all you do.
Anticlimactic when he thanks me for everything I do. But I'm going to say to everybody, I'm going to say thank you. Speaking of thank you to my friend Stephanie Robinson.
Thanks for having me on here. This was such a blast.
It was so much fun.
Ugh, I love it.
You come back whenever you want.
I will take you up on that right. Square pizza.
Well, you can't guarantee the square pizza. Well, you have to come back for the love of the show, not the love of the pizza.
All right. I can make that work.
So, all right. Enough of the Bad Company song. I'm going to play something on the way out. I'm going to play something from... What should I play, Mike? Bat Fangs? You don't know. Mike doesn't know any band after 1974. Bat Fangs, you know Mad Fangs. It's the Betsy from X Hex. It's her band, and we're gonna play something from their album, which came out on Don Giovanni earlier this year. Let's play Wolfbite. Be back next week. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.